Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Sorry, I'm trying to find a plug socket that works in this studio so I can plug in my computer. Otherwise, the whole show is going to go to cock. Evening, it's Ian Lee. Coming up, John Sebastian from The Lovin' Spoonful. I've got my finger on the pulse, dear listener. Best helmets, auras, speed dating, and to be honest, anything you want to talk about. You know the format, or maybe you don't. 08444991000. Give us a call, we'll call you back. Here's the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
He has made a covenant with the night, and with the darkness he is in agreement.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here we go. Just bring the microphone closer to your mouth. Give it a little twist. There we go. Beautiful. Evening, guys. Thank you very much. And girls. Girls, it turns out, are allowed to listen to the radio now. Who'd have thunk such a thing? Really, if you think back to how far women have come in the last, I don't know, 100 years or so, it really is an amazing achievement, girls. You should be very proud of yourselves. No, I don't. It's one of those things. I'm trying to be sincere, but it's sounding patronising, and I don't mean it to. There's beef in the papers, isn't there, about women not earning as much at tennis and stuff like that. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to guarantee it, guys. 08444991000, by the way. I'm going to guarantee it. There will never, ever be any talk about sport on this radio show. I'm pretty definite that there's never going to be any sporting talk. Primarily, because sport's really boring, and I can say this in here because I've just spent the last hour and a half in the Talk Sport offices. Jeez, can someone get me a wet wipe? I need to wipe myself down. It's just packed full of men swearing. There's so much swearing out there. Oh wait, 444991000. Yesterday was the first show. Great start. Thanks very much. It's appreciated. We can do better. We will do better tonight. John Sebastian from The Loving Spoonful is coming on. There'll be young people listening. There won't. There'll be young people listening going, well, who the hell is John Sebastian? Is my computer rocking and a rolling, Barbara Ann? Well, this is John Sebastian, dear listener. This guy's coming on.
Darling companion.
Oh, yeah.
Come on and give me understanding. And let me be your champion. The hand to hold your pretty hand in.
Darling companion. Guys, I am nothing if not up to date. And here's another one. Listen, here we go.
Nashville cats.
Listen, my finger is on the pulse of what's happening in the world today. And what's happening in the world today is Mr. John Sebastian. Now, due to my instructions, my very strict, accurate instructions being ignored, John Sebastian will not be coming on at 12:30, as was meant to happen. He'll be coming on at 11:30. Which was not meant to happen. Now, the reason, because, you know, he's in America, and they have different different time zones over there. It's different time to what we have over here. Yeah. And coupled with that, they've just moved their clocks around a little bit. I think the clocks went back. So the time is different. So I said to Catherine, who is the producer of the show, make sure... Okay. Make sure, we haven't got any calls yet though, is that what you're saying? Okay, fine. I told you, first night, there'll be, first cab off the rank, they'll be gagging for it. By night two, the novelty will have worn off, and they'll gone back to listening to talk about Brexit and immigrants on the other stations. We're not allowed to mention anymore. I've given the number about four times. Don't talk in my ear, please. Thanks very much indeed. He was supposed to be coming on, but the time difference was not accounted for, so he's coming on at 11:30. Is what's happening. 08444991000. You can come in if you want. Don't matter. One of the things I wanted to talk about this evening, and the way the show works, guys, is I kind of throw these things out and these bits and pieces out. Ever so over there, that's a nice one there. And you can call in about this stuff and talk about this stuff, or not. It doesn't really matter. You know, you call in and talk about what you want.
Yeah, but some of these topics are hot. Well, like your best helmet.
You've come up with best helmets. Yeah. Tell me why that's why helmets are on your mind.
I saw a film recently with lots of helmets in it, and I thought, well, that is a lovely one. Why don't they do them like they used to? I mean, just do kind of utilitarian helmets. They don't seem to take the great pleasure in helmets that they used to, say, in the Roman times. Now, the Romans loved a helmet.
You don't get... But hang on a second. This is actually a very, very serious issue. You don't get... who makes helmets these days?
Kevlar.
Right.
Making that up. It's made out of Kevlar, I think.
Ed, are you able to take that phone call? Do you have the technology to do that and give him a call back? Thank you. But no one wears... Apart from the UN...
Yeah.
No one wears helmets anymore.
Yeah. You're not thinking.
Go on.
Securicor. Helmet.
No, I don't think they do wear a helmet.
Oh, they do.
No, they don't.
Oh, they do.
I don't think they do wear a helmet.
Mm-hmm. Helmet.
0844 499 1000. If a helmet has played an important part in your life, then give us a call now.
Helmet with visor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing I don't like. Have a go, heroes.
Why not?
What? No, why?
Well, because sometimes the red rage rises and you can use it for good rather than evil.
No. You always get on Crime Watch, or a Securicor man, or the G4S man. He put up a fight. Well, what are you doing that for? Give them the money. It's insured. You're on minimum wage. Don't risk your life. Don't risk your life, Terry. It's not worth it for the 10 grand that's going to Tesco. Why would you do that? Give him the money. If you're a Securicor man and someone can't... Give us the money! Give him the money.
I think they do tend to be trained to do that.
But they don't do it
but
in
they
the...
They can't say that, can they?
They don't do it in the Crime Watch reconstructions. They put up a fight.
Mm.
And then you get some... And also, the thing with that money is... It's
in a spray bag.
It's in a spray bag. You try and force that open, the money's ruined... Your clothes are ruined. The inside of the car is ruined. Mm. You're screwed, basically.
Your villain's hideout's ruined.
So what's the point? Give them the money. Give them the money. Now, if I got mugged and I was feeling a bit arsy, I'd give it some. If I was having one of those days, I'd give it some. But otherwise, I'd just, take it.
I know myself. Yeah. And although I can see that it would be sensible just to comply...
Yeah.
I'd get a cob on.
It depends. I remember the only time I've ever come close to a mugging... Evening, Noah.
Evening.
The only time I've ever come close to a mugging was when I was in Bounds Green in North London and a young lad on a bicycle tried to grab my chips off me.
What?
Tried to grab my chips. I was 20...
That's a contradiction, isn't it?
Sorry?
Active lifestyle bike.
Yeah.
Unhealthy chips.
Well, but it's the perfect crime. Because you eat the chips and then you ride off and you lose all of the fat and the weight gained. And I was 24, 25, so I was a young man.
Mm.
And I was 23.
Thin then
24,
as well.
24, 24.
Sprightly.
I wasn't as sprightly as I would later become. Before those days. It was early days. And he grabbed the chips and he went, give us the chips. I went, what? He went, give it. He said, get this, Noah. I tell you what, Noah. Hello. You be a young hoodlum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you demand my chips, and we'll reenact it. Okay.
What am I doing at this point? Just standing by.
You're my girlfriend at home, thinking.
Where's he going with my chips?
Where's he going with the chips? Right, go.
Give me your chips.
Oh.
That was a little bit. Oh, blimey.
He gave it his all, didn't he?
That really caught me off guard.
Yeah. You'd give him the chips, wouldn't you?
I would have. Like, the chips have gone now. He's gone. You're right.
I'm fine.
Okay. Do it. He was a young lad. He was about 16.
Yeah, but menacing.
But he didn't sound like Phyllis.
All right, okay.
So do it. Give us it again, Noah, but you're 16.
Give me your chips.
Hmm? What?
Give me your chips.
Get out of it. Go on, bog off. I think I actually did say bog off.
Okay, but you wouldn't have said it to the first guy. You would have given him your chips.
And the first guy would have got the chips.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's why I don't like Have A Go Heroes.
Okay, thanks for that illustration.
Noah, look, Yas is on the line in a minute. That's a blast from the past. What have you called in for, Noah?
About favourite helmets.
Excellent.
Yep, go on.
My favourite helmet is the one Judge Dredd uses.
Oh, that is a sweet helmet.
Oh, it's an iconic helmet. It's also very practical because not only does it keep your brain safe from hoodlums kicking it in, but that little emblem in the middle on top is actually a respirator. So if you ever get caught in a gas attack or something, you've got 20 minutes of oxygen.
20 minutes?
Yeah.
It's not a lot.
No.
Is it enough?
Better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. Is it better than nothing, or is it just prolonging the inevitable?
Well, it was long enough for Dredd to use to kill his brother Rico.
Flipping Rico.
Rico?
Yes.
He had a brother called Rico.
A clone brother.
Oh. Here we go. Noah, you have inadvertently given us the topic for tonight's show.
What was the thought
process? Off the back of your helmet, we've got the topic, right?
The thought process. You call one kid Dredd and the other one Rico.
We've got... Right.
No, they were both called Dredd.
So
there
Rico Dredd.
Rico Dredd and Joe Dredd.
Joe!
I'm not that familiar with the Judge Dredd comics, so I don't know. Has my voice gone tinny? Have I done a John Holmes? Has my voice gone tinny because your mic's open? Because my voice sounds quiet.
Is mine going to sound deep and throaty now?
Here's the thing, right? Evil twins, cloned or otherwise, right, from popular fiction. So we've got, let me write this down. We've got Joe Dredd and Rico Dredd, the Dredd brothers.
More Dredd brothers.
There was what?
There were more cloned Dredd brothers.
Let's leave those guys out of this equation, right?
Rico, there was, Steve,
okay,
Jerry.
Here we go. There was Michael Knight.
Yeah.
Who was Michael Knight's evil brother?
Dean.
No, it was Garth, wasn't it? Was it Garth, Noah?
No, you're confusing Hasselhoff's character with the cars. You had Kit and Car.
Yeah, but
evil twin cars.
But there was an evil twin Michael Knight, because you could tell he was evil because he had a goatee.
Yes.
It was, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And you're confusing him with Spock from the alternate Star Trek universe. Because there were two Spocks. There was Spock, and then there was Spock with evil goatee in the alternate universe.
There was! This is how you tell someone is the evil twin. They've got the goatee.
But they wouldn't do that now, because that was in the days when not every man had a goatee, and the goatee was a sign of the devil, of course.
Yeah, and also, he's dead.
Who, the devil?
No, Leonard Nimoy. That's not funny! I wasn't expecting that to get a laugh. Noah, excellent first call I'm sure you've made other calls in your life! First call to the show. This is one of the problems with this new studio, and I was listening. This is why I can't bear listening to John Holmes.
Oh, I like him.
Because he winds me up.
No, I think he's very good.
But when the second microphone is open, the first microphone sounds pony.
Oh.
So, can I try you on another microphone? Let's try you on here. See if now I sound good again. So go there. Try that one. Let's just see if that has any effect. Guys, it's day two of a brand new radio station. What do you expect? Perfection? Now talk into that.
This one.
Works. Perfect. We'll stick with that. Cool. Can you hear the difference, Ed? Does it sound different?
Yes, it sounds great.
It does. By the way, this is Ed, who is going to be our whipping boy.
He's Ed Dredd. He's the third clone.
I was never a fan, Ed. I was never a fan of the Judge Dredd comics. And what was it? 2000 AD. Did you enter that world?
I read one, and I never really hooked on.
Comics that never really hooked on. Judge Dredd.
Wizard and Chips.
Oh no, I like Wizard and Chips.
As a kid, I liked Mad Magazine. That was one magazine I'd buy. It wasn't quite a comic, but it's always good fun.
I like Mad Magazine. I didn't like the Victor. Victor for boys. Mm-hmm. War! Hunty Hawk!
Yes.
Hunty Hawk is fine dog. Let's go to... Oh, we've got loads of calls racked up here. 0844
499 1000. Do you want me to do one, or should I stay?
What time are we... Guys, it's early days. Let the show settle in. So I'm going to be asking questions that I should have asked before the show. What time have we got a break now? In 2 minutes. All right, let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris! Hey, Chris.
Hi, sorry, Ian. I know you're working. Can I just ask a quick question? Sorry, buddy.
Please do, mate. Away you go.
Would you be all right if I had a water sprinkler?
Has a hosepipe ban been announced?
No, not yet.
Oh, in that case, mate, you go for your life.
I'm trying to remember the call and response messages. That's about 10 years old, that call. We'll get someone phoning up about Chuck Ices in a minute.
Excellent.
I tell you what we'll do. 0844 499 1000. We've got Bobby, Yasser, Keith and Stan, all blokes.
And why not?
Because it's because we're connected to Talk Sport, is a bit blokey. That office really does need a good clean, doesn't it?
It makes me feel like a woman, though, being in there. I feel so feminine. No, I know, never say that.
You're blokier than me. We'll come back. Bobby, Yasser, Keith, Stan, stay there. We'll come back to you after this.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So far, Best Helmets has led us on to Evil Twins. We get some good suggestions on... I can't remember Michael Knight's evil twin. I think it was Garth.
Garth.
I think so.
I think so.
And you knew he was evil because he had a goatee. I've been reminded, and thank you, Gemma, on Twitter, at Ian Lee. Postman Pat has a brother who has a goatee.
Evil twin.
He's a captain of a boat, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
Is this new Pat that's got a first name? Because I don't trust him.
The Pat is his name.
Oh, yeah.
Flipping,
he's got a surname as well, though, now,
Clifton,
hasn't he?
Pat Clifton.
Yeah, I didn't need to know that, ever.
Oh, I don't... Here's the thing, right? What the hell are they doing giving that lunatic a helicopter? What the hell is that
special
about?
Special delivery service. Don't they know that service is stripped to the bone right now?
They're giving him a flipping helicopter! And he's voiced by Stephen Mangan in the film. Oh, my nemesis.
That's what you object to, isn't it?
Then someone else has said... Oh, here we go, Carpet Martin.
I'm getting some suggestions.
Darren Brown has a goatee.
Yeah.
And he is clearly evil, which surely means his good twin is out there somewhere. The good twin is probably tied up under the stairs.
Baron. Baron Brown.
Huh?
Darren and Baron.
Is he Baron? Is he? You should make jokes about that. Poor bloke. You'll have to adopt. Baron Sharon. It's an unfortunate name. But she is actually a Baron. Let's go to Bobby. Good evening, Bobby.
Hello, it's a female Bobby, by the way.
Hey! Lady Bobby! Lady Bobby! Hang on, I've got some music somewhere for...
ladies.
I've got some ladies' music. Hang on a minute. Here we go.
Brace yourself, Bobby.
Okay.
Here we go. Yeah. Got a lady on top, yeah.
Funny story.
Yeah. Hang on. Yeah, got a lady on top, yeah. And that's kind
that's
of it.
Enough. Yeah.
Lady Bobby, away you go.
When you were talking about muggins...
Yes. Muggins here? What do you mean, muggins here? Eat them up. Muggins here? I'll clean it up. Go on, get out. Muggins here? Hello, it's muggins here. That's what they should say. If when you were mugged, they came up and they went, hello, it's muggins here. Give us your wallet. You go, all right then, you've got me there.
You let them off, wouldn't you?
Because it reminds you of your mum, wouldn't it? Muggins.
Begrudgingly helping you out yet again.
Imagine if Biggins' name was Muggins. Chris Muggins. And he could have a show called, hello, Muggins here. And he'd mug people.
Suggest it.
I will do.
They've made weirder things.
Here's the thing, right?
Celebrity Road Rage.
I taught Celebrity Road Rage. I voiced that. Yeah, I was the voice of that.
Did you?
I was the voice of that.
Wow.
I taught, if you've ever taught a celebrity to do something, 0844 499 1000. Boy, oh boy, I've not done this gig for 4.5 months. I've got so much good ideas stored up inside me. I must write them down and bring them into the show one day. I taught, get this, Bobby, taught Christopher Biggins how to turn off his data roaming so that it wouldn't cost him a fortune when he went abroad on his iPhone. Yes, I did.
Well, it's something I probably thought he wouldn't know how to do.
I got talking to him in on the Royal Mile in Edinburgh, and he went, "Oh, I'm going away." And I said, "Well, don't forget to turn your data roaming off, Chris." He said, "What? Turn your data roaming off, mate. Otherwise, that'll cost you a fortune." I haven't got a clue how to do it. Did it? Showed him how to do it. And I had a sneaky look at all his pictures on his phone while I was doing it.
Good ones.
Some corkers in there. Anyway, Bobby, that's not what you've called in for, is it?
No.
Okay, go on.
Does it count if you've been mugged by a bird?
Oh, that's escalated.
This is, mate, of course it counts. Any form of muggins here is acceptable. What happened to you?
It didn't happen to me. It happened to my dad while we were on holiday, but it was a great story.
Beautiful.
We were sat.
Is it a sad story? Do you need sad music?
No.
You don't need...
No.
This wouldn't help?
No.
Okay, fine, that's fine. We can stop it. It's there if we need it. It's there if we need it. If someone... If
yeah.
It, okay.
We were sat eating a hot dog, and a seagull landed on my dad's shoulder, stole the hot dog, left my dad with the roll, and flew off. But he didn't... didn't just fly off.
Yeah.
He pooed down my dad's back.
Oh! He did a dirty protest.
A parting shot.
Passing shot. He literally adding insult to injury.
And he didn't want... He only wanted the meat.
See, the thing is, right, on other radio stations right now, and I've been told off for mentioning other radio stations, so I'm not going to mention any specific ones, right?
But there are some.
There are some,
all
right?
All rubbish.
What they'll be doing now, Bobby, is they'll be saying, because of, you know, the horrible events that's happening, that we shouldn't allow any more Muslims into the country, right?
Yeah.
We're not doing that. I welcome the Muslims over here. We shouldn't be allowing seagulls into the country.
Oh, exactly.
If we leave Europe, do we get control of our air borders? Can we at last stop the menace of foreign seagulls coming over here, stealing our hot dogs and pooping down our dad's
backs? I don't think you're going far enough. I want the pigeons out as well.
Yeah.
Right? And I'll tell you why.
Ooh.
Shall I tell you what's put me off pigeons?
Yeah, go on.
Give me the music.
Oh, hang on a second. Here we go.
When I was a student, I thought I'd treat myself to something nice from Marx's.
Yeah.
Sandwich.
Oi, good sandwiches from Marx's.
Mm-hmm. And then roast chicken ones. I think it might have been a...
Was it bread or a wrap?
It was bread.
Okay. Fatty.
I wasn't worried about my weight then. I was drinking quite a lot of Caffrey's in the student bar.
Yeah.
I put on a stone and a half in my first year at university.
Okay, mate. It is my show, but carry on.
Anyway, so that's probably why I was feeling hungry.
Yeah.
Wasn't the only one, it turns out. Walking through the street with my delicious sandwich.
Yeah.
Who comes swooping down from the heavens.
Yeah.
Trying to eat a chicken sandwich, that's virtually cannibalism.
Yeah.
Put its beak right in my sandwich, it did.
Yeah.
And then kind of rebounded.
I'm really
flew
hoping
off.
This story has got a strong payoff, because I don't know about you, Bobby. It's not, it's so far, it's a little bit disappointing. I don't think it's worthy of the Snow Patrol, but. Carry on.
Put its beak in my sandwich, like between the two layers of bread.
Is this a euphemism?
And then kind of fell out.
Yeah, it is a euphemism. We've all been there. Long night. A long night.
And I looked at the prostrate.
Wow.
Pigeon.
Wow, you got that close.
Prostrate pigeon.
Yeah, we go.
And he looked at me.
I've got their second album somewhere.
Do you know what I did? I binned the sandwich.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed.
Put me right off pigeons.
I had a pigeon land on my hand the other day, and I nearly decked a goose. That is true. A goose was giving... With me and my little boy, we went to the river. Is there anything, Bobby, purer...
Than the horror of a child and a goose?
Than going to feed the ducks. Not allowed to give them bread now. You're not allowed to give them bread, because it's bad for them.
I think that's silly.
I think it's silly. It's like giving them chips. Well, chips are good.
They like chips.
Anyway, we were feeding them bread. We stuffed that. But we bought the bread. Anyway. And this goose was coming up to my boy and I had my fist clenched and I went, get out of it. And I would have smacked it in the face.
Oh, but you didn't.
If you've ever punched an animal or a bird in the face, 0844 499 1000. Bobby, anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you very much indeed. There we go. Very successful call there. Let's go to okay, this will mean nothing to you, but welcome to the world of Yasser. Good evening, Yasser.
Good evening, Ian.
Oh, just crushed a plum as I crossed my legs there as I was talking to you. Isn't that funny? Well, not funny, it's painful. Did it just... You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Ed? You've crossed your legs aggressively before now.
It's not a fun experience,
it's not.
I'll tell you that.
Yasser, ever crushed a plum?
No, is that a euphemism for something?
Yes, testicles.
No.
Okay.
I have. I have. Someone grabbed my boobs uninvited in a club once, so I crushed his plums.
So let that be a lesson to us.
That's disgusting.
He was very surprised.
Jeff, why did you look at me after you said that?
Just a warning.
That's a lesson for us all, isn't it, Yasser?
Yeah.
It is. It, respect women's bodies is what...
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolute respect for women and... Their bodies is key, I think. It's key. Yasser, I've not spoken to you for what? About 10 years?
No, that's not true. We spoke. You forgot this.
Yep.
But we spoke about 4.5 years ago. Actually, it was.
Okay, hang on one second, Yasser. Can I ask you what your views are on trumpets? Oh, I need my computer on a constant feed so I can go. Oh, why is it not playing?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, hang on a minute. I know why it's not playing. Hang on. Hang on a minute. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
I don't want to blow my own trumpet because I haven't got one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Yasser.
Oh, it's that guy.
It's that guy. It's
so
that guy.
So pleased to meet you.
Yasser's greatest hits. Yasser.
That was 10 years ago, man. Come on.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago. But it's one of my favourite quotes of all time, as is...
I've got a mouthful of sausage.
So, you know... happy right, days. I like the mushy peas. There we go. There we go. Yasser, how's life treating you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
It's that thing, isn't it? When you've not met someone for years, right, mm-hmm. you think you'd have loads of stuff to say to them. And you haven't, generally. You don't really have a lot to say. So I'm hoping that Yasser's going to turn this around. He's going to spin some old-school magic, and he's going to turn it around. Yas, what you got?
Tell me that you might not know about me. Last year, if you go on YouTube,
You killed someone.
I was in a YouTube video.
Oh.
Last year, that got over 500,000 views.
500,000?
Yeah. I was actually... It wasn't my video. I was a part of the video, actually, last year.
What was it? Were you in a Justin Bieber concert?
No, it was in Trafalgar Square last May. Oh. It was a YouTuber does it guy.
Yeah.
And he said, like... It was like... About even though it was about 50 of us. Yeah. It was a massive group hug.
Oh,
no, I don't like that. A massive group hug?
Yeah, yeah.
What were you doing that for, mate?
For YouTube.
You did it for YouTube?
Yeah, it wasn't my thing. It was somebody else's YouTube channel, and I was a part of that.
Yeah. But yeah. Did you get to choose who you got to hug?
No, just strangers.
Oh, mate.
Oh, dear.
Okay, how does a group hug work of 50 people? Was it like a pile-on? Did one, like, jump on the floor and go, pile-on! And then everyone piled on?
No.
Catherine,
like
by the way, oh, and I know we've got a break in a second. Can you, while we're talking, can you find out the world record for pile-on, please? Because I'm thinking maybe that could be something we could do.
I don't want to be on the bottom of that again.
A bit of publicity. And I'm sorry about that, Catherine. I just slipped up the stairs. I think that could be good publicity for the station if we did the world's biggest pile-on. Okay.
Norris McWhirter would know.
He's sadly no longer with us. Norris on the spot. Well, yes, that's excellent news, mate. I'm glad you know you've turned your life around and you're making a success of everything.
Thanks very much.
Listen, I've got to go to a break, but now you're in touch. You've got the number. Give us a call again soon, buddy.
No worries.
Thanks, mate. Take care.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening. Ian Lee, I nearly said the old place.
Don't say that
it's
again.
Funny, isn't it? It's hardwired in. Whenever I finish a phone call, I go to give 034. I go to give the old number.
Do you know what I did? First person to call because you were talking about them next door.
Yeah.
I said hello, Talk Sport.
Oi.
That's all right.
Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 08444991000. Kathy's my producer. I don't know what that actually entails because the one thing I'd ask you to do, well, two things I'd ask you to do, and you hadn't done them. One was get John Sebastian set up for 12:30. He's coming on at 11:30. You muffed up. Secondly.
For 12:30 old time.
I came in and I said, where are the newspapers? You went, huh? I said, the newspapers. Well, no. I said, right, you know I need the newspapers. We may not use them, but I need them in case it's quiet on the phones or I need them as a backup. And you went, oh, I don't know. I went, could you find them? I went, no.
Yeah, and how did I find them in the end? I went bin diving. So don't start giving me the lip.
Yeah. Well.
Because you know I go above and beyond for this show. Right, it's pylons.
Oh, I've...
Looks like it's wide open.
Yeah, go on.
Because at
go
the moment, on. All I can find is when it comes to piles
yeah.
and world records is 137 cases sorted out in one day by a surgeon
oh,
called...
Oh, piles?
Sudarshan Chugh.
Who? Yeah. Chugh Knight?
Sudarshan Chugh.
He was a rap singer, wasn't he?
No, he's a doctor specialising in piles.
Keith, Stan, stay there. Jessica's on the line. Good evening, Jessica.
Hello.
Oh,
I've heard the story about the seagull, like lugging the guy.
Has it made you sad?
Well, no, but I thought I could top it.
Oh.
Okay, go on then.
So, but basically, I went to Kenya for a month, and we like to volunteer, and then we decided to go on a safari.
Yeah.
At the end of the, like, time we're out there, so we can, like, relax for a bit. And we went out in the morning for, like, a game drive, and then when we came back, I went into my room and it was completely messed up and I was like all our food had been stolen and like, our bags had been gone through and I was like I thought we had been like our room had been burgled so I went to go and talk to someone at reception
yeah.
and they said it's probably baboons that had come into our room.
The what?
Baboons, because there was baboons on the reserve where we were staying.
I can't...
The bins?
Baboons!
Yeah. I thought the bins, the booze, baboons.
Baboons.
And apparently they'd been, like, hanging around my room, like, all day, and they were trying to work out why, and I'd left the window unlocked, and it said there's actually big signs on the window saying, keep the doors locked because there's, like, baboons that can come into the rooms, and they'd let themselves in. They also shut the window behind them, which was quite cute.
Oh, well, that's nice. They're almost as evolved as when I was in halls.
What were they doing in your room? Like trying on your shoes?
Yes, possibly. I don't know. But I found like some packets of Mentos that they'd literally taken the Mentos out of the packet.
Flipping heck.
And then they actually put some stuff in the bin as well, which I thought was quite funny.
Tidy baboons.
Here we go.
They're very tidy. But
here we go. I'll ask you first, Jessica. Could you ever fancy a baboon?
Did I fancy a baboon?
I'm not saying did you. Could you ever fancy a baboon?
No, it's a tricky one, because there was one baboon that I kind of got along with when I was there. He was sat, like, when I was having breakfast, he was sat on this, like, chair next to me, and he, like, took some food and stuff, and we got on quite well. So possibly, I don't know, maybe if I went back, I could, like, rekindle something. I don't know.
Gosh.
I'll be honest. I respect the honesty of that answer.
Yeah.
I respect the honesty of that answer. I tell you why, because some animals are, I don't want to say sexy.
Please don't. Mm.
But they're cute.
I know what you mean.
Okay, for example, and I don't mean this in any way to do with the age thing, but kittens. A little kitten with a bow in its hair.
Yeah.
They are very cute.
Very cute.
Yeah, but...
They age quicker. Also, if you get, not a horse... But a pony with ribbons. You know when they do, like, they plait its hair? So imagine a pony with its hair plaited. It just looks over at you. Like that.
I'm still not finding it alluring in that way.
Push comes to shove.
Well, it would.
I don't want to make an ass of myself.
Have you ever seen the world's most beautiful horse?
The world's most beautiful horse?
Yeah, you should Google it.
Horse.
The world's most beautiful horse. I have
horse.
Nay. Horse. I have the internet. I have access to the internet here. I'm going to Google.
Be careful. The world's. Google.
It's my laptop. Don't matter.
Okay.
Beautiful horse. I know how to
clean
the hard
drive. Should be in your
favourites. Let me just have a little look. So I've Googled it. Hang on a minute.
It's like a beige colour.
Hang on.
Oh, is it a palomino?
I have no idea.
Is it a palayozo? Hang on. World's most beautiful horse. Let's go to images. Hang on a second. Internet's been a little bit... Oh, my gosh.
Let's have a look.
Flipping
what do you think about that?
Heck.
Let's have a look.
That is... Is that made of
something.
Gold? That
I think
is...
it might be.
Wow.
Problem is, she knows it.
Oh, blimey, yeah. She is working that. That is outrageous. I mean, that's just incredible.
Blows your mind, doesn't it, really?
Oh, but man alive.
Not that song.
Oh, man.
Not that song.
It's made me feel romantic.
Not this song, please.
Here comes a horse.
Do-do-do-do.
Here comes a horse, and she is like well fit. Little darling, that horse you asked me to Google is pretty special. I'd like to ride her using a saddle. I'm using a saddle, for goodness sakes, before we get to... Well, thanks for lowering the tone even further, Jessica.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much indeed. Google the world's most beautiful horse, and boy, oh boy, it really is a stunner. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Keith's on the line. Keith's in Dunstable. I'm sorry to hear that, Keith. A place I used to have to go to every day, and it's got a lot of charity shops.
Do you know what I think is great about Dunstable?
Yeah.
The barbecue shop.
Yeah, the Turkish barbecue shop opposite the park is good.
You been in there?
Please.
Effie's,
yeah.
What does Effie's mean? Because they're all called Effie's.
I ain't got the foggiest, but I see him in Barclays Bank the other day paying $5,000 in, so he must be all right.
Sweet.
Oh, really? Good for them. I used to enjoy that.
That's true. I was coming behind him paying a fiver in.
Flipping heck. Well, good. Well done. Well done, Effie's in Dunstable, and we salute you. What you got for us, Keith?
What I've got for you, Ian, is I phoned you before a few times, but
prove it.
Remember me.
Prove it.
From three counties, I was the one with the wife with the booby milk rotten baby's teeth. I don't know if you remember that story.
Yeah, do you know what?
Yes.
Booby milk rotting baby's teeth.
I remember you, Keith.
Yes, yeah, right. Anyways, what I've got for you is my big qualm is why can't we get a full podcast? Because it's now 10:30 at night. I have to go to bed. I've got four kids.
Yeah.
I'm up at 5:30. I was very pleased this morning when YouTubed the fact that we could get the whole show. Well, I managed to listen to it on YouTube.
Yep.
But I have to go to bed. Can't we have a full podcast?
Here's the thing, right? So there's going to be like a 20, 25-minute podcast, and the one last night was short because we were having all kinds of technical problems. Tomorrow morning's is going to be about 25 minutes, right? That's going to happen. Yeah. There are ways of listening again.
Yep.
Really windy tonight.
I know.
If you go to talksport.co.uk, right. You can listen to all the shows again.
Right.
Talk radio. Okay. I keep saying talk sport. Thank you. Talkradio.co.uk. You go there, you can listen to all the shows again. That's all there, right? Some naughty people have taped last night's show and they put it up on YouTube. So if you go in and type Ian Lee, talk radio, it's there.
Yeah, well, I listened to that today at work. It cost me like 300 megabytes on my data allowance. It was all right, though. Worth it. You're worth every...
Don't worry, we'll pass you back to Ed afterwards. He will reimburse you.
Yeah.
We're working on it. I don't know. All right, the new boss here, he's a cracking bloke, and he said anything goes, except last night when we slagged off too many other radio stations. That's fine. That's fine.
Right.
It was very funny. I don't know what the problem... Well, I don't know why there is a reluctance to release a full podcast. I'm kind of working on it. I think it would be that would... For a new radio station... that is primarily broadcasting on DAB, you want to get as many listeners in as many different formats as you can, and a full podcast, I think, would go down very, very well. It's out of my hands, Keith, but we are I'm trying to persuade the people that need to be persuaded.
I'm already stayed up an hour later just to phone you about it.
Oh, blimey.
I'm in the doghouse upstairs because she's in bed waiting for me, so not that way.
Hang on, how many kids have you got? Five?
I've got four kids.
Okay,
too many.
Yeah. Well,
anyways, I'm glad you're back together and loving the show last night, and I'm sure hopefully I can listen to it tomorrow if some reprobate puts it on YouTube tomorrow.
We will. Look, Keith, let's see what happens. Thank you. Ed is doing sign language to me. Ed, come on the microphone and tell us.
We need a break.
Oh, blimey.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Evening, Ian Lee. Talk Radio 0844 499 1000. Catherine is here. She's producing and whatnot. Ed is through there. Evening, Ed.
Evening.
The way it works, you give us a call, 0844 499 1000. We'll give you a call back. We're talking...
Don't say double.
Oh, you're not supposed to... Oh, what is it? 0844 499... What, am I saying it to an old person? That's what I'd say it to me, Nan. And she's
there'll be some old people listening.
Just give us a rundown, Catherine, before we go to Stan, who's been waiting for ages. What have we been talking about so far this eve?
Best helmets.
Yes.
Squashed plums.
Yep.
Punched birds.
Yep.
And sexy animals.
Sexy animals. Evil twins.
Evil twins. And goatees.
And goatees. So there really is...
The devil's marker.
There really is a lot. Stan's on the line. Evening, Stan!
Hey, Ian. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Pardon?
Can you hear me, Ian?
Yes, I can.
Can I play a little song, please?
Yeah, please do, mate.
All right, mate, cool.
Yeah.
Can you hear that, yeah?
Yeah. Yes.
Ian Lee on the radio. Welcome back to the Late Late Show. Good to have you. Cause the others are not up to much. You are tough like a torture. I really need a saga. Oh, Ian Lee on the radio. Welcome back to the Late Late Show. Well, the others, I wouldn't even bother. Oh, Ian, you remind me of my torture. I really need a
saga. Caught a word there.
Thank you, Stanley. Excellent stuff indeed. Yes, and well done, Stan, right? Because I've been asking my mate Scott to write a song for this show for the last 3 weeks,
Slacker.
Right? And he's not done it. Not done it.
Of course he hasn't.
Stan just spontaneously does it. Spontaneously. Mm-hmm. Spontaneously, Stan. Thank you, Stan.
Yes, hello.
Oh, no. Have you got more to contribute, Stan. You're more than welcome to.
Yeah, listen, because the thing is, well, I've been listening to Late Night Radio for almost like, I'm 35 now, so I'm sort of 15. So
you must be tired.
And to be honest, like, it's been quite bobbins for the last...
it's been quite what?
Bobbins, bobbins are cotton.
Oh, bobbins.
Rotten.
I thought you said bubbling. I know what bobbins means. I was brought up
yeah,
on
bobbins,
Frank Sidebottom.
Yeah, sorry.
By the way, Pee Wee Herman, I compared him with Frank Sidebottom last night. Pee Wee Herman is more of a cross between Frank Sidebottom and Andy Kaufman.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he coming on the show?
I tweeted him, so yeah, yeah.
Well, do you know what? Can I just tell you something? I had a moment of sadness there.
Why?
Do you know what I was about to say to you?
I know.
We should get Frank Sidebottom on the show. Frank Sidebottom's been dead about 5-6 years now. Oh, Stan, you've broken my heart. Anyway, sorry, carry on. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, is Verinda called in yet?
No, she's not called in.
Verinda isn't called in yet. Okay, cool. But anyway, listen, you know, I'm going to be tuning in and hopefully it'll be... good as gold as it was back in the day, man.
It's been the last 2 minutes. But, Stan, let's keep our fingers crossed. And the reason we're doing this, right, do you know what? I'm a big fan. I'm a radio geek, right? And I'm a big fan of late night radio. It's been tricky for me to listen to for the past few years because I've been getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so I go to bed at 8. But I'm a big fan of late night radio. And there are some really good, talented people on doing some really solid shows, okay?
But, yeah, it's a bit too conservative, though, isn't it? It's a bit too straight.
Yeah, exactly. I want to have a laugh.
There's not enough bisexual stuff out there.
Bisexual?
Yeah, there's not enough, you know, it's not enough, like, bisexual stuff out
well,
there.
Well, depends where you're looking. There are a couple of people who are on various stations who are great and are solid, are great broadcasters. Yeah. I'm big fans of their work. I find it quite dry. Mm-hmm. Every night, immigration, Muslims. It's just like...
Also, I don't want to lie in bed and have someone shouting and being cross at me.
And this morning, when I woke up, I saw what had gone on in Brussels?
Yes.
Right, I saw what had gone on in Brussels. Kind of part of me thought, oh, we should probably do something on that. How are we going to handle that? And I thought, no. That's even more reason to go on the radio and be stupid. That's because there will be people doing that now, and that's fine. And people have been doing it all day, and that's fine. It's a really big story.
And listen, it's not to say we don't care about
it. No,
I think it's terrible.
Not at all. But that's even more reason to go on and mess around so people have an outlet which isn't the horror of people setting off bombs in airports and train stations. You know, this is why, genuinely, I think we need more people messing around on the radio. Stan, thank you for that song. It's appreciated.
Yeah, cheers, man.
Cheers, my dears. Ta-ta. There we go. What a nice bloke. I did this morning. I turned my phone on. I get all my news from... I get my first news either... well, from Twitter, primarily. And I did think, all right, OK, so what are we going to do about that? And it lasted about 30 seconds. I thought, well, no, of course we're not going to do anything about it.
In the olden days, we'd have had to do something.
Oh, yeah, and we would have got... you know what the blight of current media is? Terrorist expert.
Yeah.
The terrorist expert. What the hell is a... Unless you've been in the army hunting terrorists or you're a terrorist, how are you a terrorist expert? What does that... You've read some papers. You read the newspaper. What does that mean, I'm a terrorist expert? What? I mean, all the chances that turned up on a lot of the other stations today, you just think, well, really? Nice. And, you know, the cover... I thought Paul Ross handled it excellently this morning. I tuned in and I had a listen. You know, not that this is important in the great scheme of things, but day two of a light radio station to be confronted with a world story like that, it's a tough gig. And I thought Paul handled it excellently. But I just think, you know, when you've had a whole day of that, 10 o'clock, and if there was a breaking story now, we'd cover it and we'd give it our best shot. But 10 o'clock at night, you want people phoning up talking about evil twins.
Best helmets. I still think Romans.
If we're going to play best helmet, Top Trumps.
Of course we are.
And by the way, Top Trumps, my kids are loving Top Trumps at the moment. All of the sets, the Star Wars Top Trumps.
But your littlest one can't read, can he?
No, I know, and he gets on my nerves a bit.
Exactly.
Because he wants to play it and stuff. And anyway.
So you and your other son play Top Trumps.
What we do, this is terrible. Right, because when I put them to bed, I'm lazy, so they fall asleep in the same bed. Then I'll cart one out. And the eldest says, when he falls asleep, and then he winks, and then he mimes dealing cards. And I go, yeah, okay.
Does he mean Top Trumps and not poker?
poker. I've never understood poker. I don't understand. Poker is one of the hardest games of all time. Uno, great game. Love it. Right. Top Trump's beautiful. I don't even know how you play Happy Families. I would struggle to remember. Do you have to collect like Mum and Dad?
Oh, I don't know.
Happy Families.
I don't like card games, full stop. It's boring. Although, yeah. Uno, I admit, was fun.
You laugh, but we had a shared a train journey to Hull. Was it Hull?
We went to Hull and back.
And I brought Uno, and you laughed at me. I don't want to play that. I'm too cool for school, and I'll be in the smoking carriage having fags.
I don't smoke. What's all this about?
And then I got Uno, and then I cracked Uno open, and it blew your flipping mind.
Yeah, because I beat you.
No, you didn't.
That's always the way into a game.
And we nearly missed our station
because it got real.
Oh wait, 444991000. That's a Richard.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm all right, Rich. What you got?
Lovely to hear your voice. So glad you've gone on to better things, Ian.
I wouldn't say better. Different. No, I would say better. I would say better.
Get away from that BBC. You're too badly drawn back. At least you can say a few more things, mate.
Listen, we'll see that. It's one of those gigs, right, where you're told, you can do whatever you want. Within 6 months, we'll be doing football. I know how it works. I know how it works. What you got for us, Rich?
Just to let you know, you were going on about muggings, weren't you?
Yep.
I've actually been mugged by a squirrel monkey.
What?
I was in Woburn Zoo with my little lad, and there was a little enclosure with some squirrel monkeys where you can get up close and personal with them.
Yeah.
One of them jumped off the frame onto my shoulder. I was saying to my little lad, oh, look at him, isn't he cute? Straight down his hand went straight in my pocket, pulled out my tobacco, off he went, straight up to this tree, watched him, he opened the packet of tobacco, he sniffed it, he sort of sneezed, looked at it again, pulled out some tobacco, went to eat it, spat it out, and then threw the packet back at me.
Hey! He was unhappy! He was unhappy! I thought you were going to say that he got into chewing the backy.
He did, he went to eat it, he sniffed it first, thought it was disgusting, pulled it out, went to eat it, and then spat it, and then threw the actual packet straight at me.
I'm grateful. Where was this? Woburn?
This was at Woburn, yeah.
I've had one of those monkeys with its hand in my pocket in Woburn as well. I think they I think they might be training them.
Oh, God, can you imagine if it took your £500 phone up there and threw it at you?
There's some kind of monkey Fagin in that enclosure who's sorting them all out.
There's so much...
I've been assaulted by a swan as well while I was out fishing.
Yeah, go on.
And I was sitting there, I'm quite a clean fisherman, and as fishermen will let you know, they swear something rotten as swans because come over and get tangled in the line. My mate kept saying to me, for God's sake, don't get agitated by them, just leave them alone and they'll leave you alone. So I just completely ignored this swan. It came right up to me, right up close, and I was pretty nervous because, you know, you get all these tales about, you know, flapping their arms, it'll break your neck and all this. Anyway, I looked straight at this thing. It looks at me, and it hissed, and it attacked me.
Who said just stand still if a swan comes near you? Your mum.
It's just a load of rubbish.
Of course, you're supposed to move.
It's not a T-Rex.
A swan comes near you, you're off. Yeah, get out of there.
Mate. I won't be making that mistake, no. Jane. That's for sure.
No. Well, Richard, I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad you're well. Thank you very much indeed. That's nonsense. If any wild creature... OK, let's go through the list, OK? Shark. If a shark attacks you...
Punch it in the face.
You punch it in the nose. Mm-hmm. Got punched in the nose, OK? If a crocodile attacks you, you put a log in its mouth. So it's... You'd know that, Ed, coming from New Zealand. Where they
have No, you're thinking of Australia again.
Well, I mean...
Same thing.
It's not... Yeah. But you would put if you're in Titirangi in Auckland out with my sister, that would be weird. She's married.
Okay, good to know.
And a crocodile came up to you outside. What's a typical New Zealand shop?
I don't know, the local dairy, BP, a Foursquare, typical New Zealand.
Do you
shop.
Say BP?
Yeah.
Well, the petrol,
like the local BP,
British Petroleum. What's a typical New Zealand store? The local BP. British Petroleum.
I know, that was my local because it was at the top of my road, so I just walked around the corner and always go there for milk.
If a crocodile came, you've got to shove a log in its mouth.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Standard.
Now, I always thought it was climb up a tree for bears, but bears can climb trees.
Play dead for a bear.
Is it play dead for a bear?
You have to lie there and not move.
And a kangaroo, it's 10 rounds in the ring. You've got to have a boxing match with it.
What about a rabid dog?
Oh, you just got to shoot it. You've got... Oh, no. Well, no, not rab. If it's rabid, mate, you're in trouble. Yes, if a dog is biting you and will not let go, you stick your finger up its anus. That is true. I don't even know why you're laughing, because that is actually true. And I've got a dog now, and so I know it works.
Oh, wow.
I've got a Westie. She's vicious. And I know it works. She knows it works. We have an understanding.
Well, that's taken a turn.
Oh, wait, dogs. 0844-499-1000. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number.
Don't say double.
I know, it's just... That's how we say... Here's the thing. Oh. So you'd say, OK, so am I supposed to say 1,000?
Yes.
OK. But if I were not to say that, I'd say 1,000. What's wrong with that?
Because it sounds like you're being...
No, but what is wrong? OK, pinched. I'm going to say the number like this way. All right, OK, what's wrong with this? 0844. What's wrong with that?
0844.
What's wrong with that? Ed's got it. Ed, what's wrong with that? 0844.
I got nothing. Mate.
You've got a face that looks like you know something, which is good. You should keep that. 0844. What's wrong with that? It's obvious.
Don't know.
O's not a number. What dial a no? I'm going to dial a no. It's not a number. I mean, zero.
But do you say 0800?
Some people. Well, this
0800. Surely.
This is if you're going to go for accuracy. Then yes,
do you know
there are some people that get the right cob on about that?
You could take your
phone
out the number.
Could you send your phone off in the studio, please, mate? Trying to do a radio show.
I'm needing it.
You just got a message. Could you turn
it's
it off?
Pee Wee Herman.
It buzzed. Is it?
No.
Might be. Right. Don't start. Listen, I've got to go to a break in 9 seconds. 0844-499-1000.
Talk radio.
We're in trouble, guys, before we go to the news. I knew that people would get upset about this. Seb is furious on Twitter. He says, is it not... He's written it brilliantly. Is it not naught, not zero?
Oh, flipping out.
This is the thing. People get so upset about this kind of shiz.
He's literally upset about nothing, though.
Literally about nothing. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. Give us a call. We'll call you back. And in half an hour, we've got John Sebastian. But now, here's the news.
Gonna run with me like a boy laser. Why be more done than the world of chaser?
We've got a celebrity listening. Stand up, everybody. Stand up, Ed. And a round of applause. You know who's listening? No, well, you know...
Dennis Waterman there.
No. You know who's listening? Tony Blackburn.
Oh!
Blackburn's listening. Blackburn in the house. Tony, I know the time is not right, but whenever you want to come on this show, you have an open invitation, boss, and we don't even have to talk about those suckers at the BBC if you don't want. We can just talk about music. We can just talk about music if ever you want to come on and tell us how you saved Stevie Wonder from falling off of the stage. True story. Then you have an open invitation. It's nice that Tony's listening. I'm a big fan of Tony. And he's had what a rotten few months he's had. Isn't he? Completely. Anyway, enough. Richard, you've been on already.
Yeah, I know, mate. I've got cut off. What sort of service is this? It's like going back to BBC, isn't it?
Oh, stop going on about those losers. Right, what? So you're back on...
Right, and what I forgot to say, you were prattling on about Michael Knight, weren't you?
Yes.
And going on about Garth.
Evil twin.
Michael Knight was actually rescued by William Knight when he was shot in the face as a detective.
Yeah, it was played by a different... I was about to tell the most boring story about when I had a dream once. I've got to tell it.
Go on.
I had a dream once, because Michael Knight originally wasn't played by David Hasselhoff. It was somebody else, and he got shot in the face, and he had to have plastic surgery, and he became Michael Knight. He became David Hasselhoff. But I had a dream that incident never happened, and the whole series, I lived through 4 seasons of Knight Rider with the original guy.
Wow.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's an alternate time.
How did you remember it? Most dreams you end up sort of only remembering for a day and you end up forgetting them, don't you?
Am I going to forget a dream like that? I remember loads of dreams.
Do you?
Yeah, I remember the first dream when I worked out that I was dreaming. Oh boy! That's
deep, aren't you?
That is no. What do they call it? Lucid dreaming. Yeah. When you become aware that you're dreaming, so you can manipulate the environment. It's like what's that film? Insurgent, Intrinsic, Intransigent. Follow that bird. Ghostbusters 2, Arthur 2 on the rocks. the film with Leonardo DiCaprio, you know it.
I know it.
Inception. Yeah. Inception.
Inception. That's right.
That is a good film.
It's not bad. It is a good film.
And it's like that. I remember it. I was walking around like a town, and it was dark. And I went, oh, I think I'm dreaming. I tell you what, I'm going to go flying to see if I'm dreaming. And then I started flying. It was awesome.
What a dream.
It was not the best dream I've ever had. Know what I'm saying? But the best dream I ever had was about the Catwoman.
Though. It was dry.
Thank you, Richard. Anyway, anyway, have you made your point yet?
Basically, Goliath was the lorry equivalent of Kit. It was Goliath.
Because Carr was the evil Kit. Right?
Yeah, correct.
And Kit's primary purpose is to protect human life, right? So they were doing a chicken run. So Carr was going straight towards Kit, and Kit kept taking control to save Michael Knight. And Michael Knight says, no, let me. And in the end, he pulled out Kit's fuses so that he was driving it because he knew that Carr, his primary thing was to protect himself. So Carr then went off into the sea, right? Then they took the computer, the microprocessor, out of that and put it in a truck, Goliath. He's right.
Yeah, and Garth was actually modelled, Michael Knight was actually modelled on Garth, which was Wilton Knight's son.
Yep, there we go.
So he made Michael Knight, because his actual name was Michael.
What we need to do, Richard, is we need to establish if it works in real life like that. That there's a good twin, a bumlick twin who goes around solving crimes. And an evil twin that goes around committing crimes. Does that happen? Richard, can I cut you off now?
Of course you can.
Thank you very much indeed.
My mum's a twin.
Well, I think
she was the goody-goody one.
There we go. And I'm not going to reveal any family secrets, but I think it proves the theory. 0844 499 1000. Is that true in real life? And this is a genuine question now. Is it true in real life?
It's true with sisters, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
I have to work out sometimes whether I'm the good one or the evil one.
You're right. I've got a sister, and I'm the good one. She's listening in Titirangi, Auckland. Did she
go there of her own volition, or is she exiled?
Jamaica. No, hang on. So is there a good twin and an evil twin in every twin relationship? Is that... and also, I'm so windy tonight. It's because we had a burger.
You're doing it right in my face.
It's because we had a burger before the... Before the
show.
That's the one.
It's nice though, isn't it? It's worth it.
Well,
you doing that? I'm eating it again.
The phone's dried up. That lot. But they're all excited. Yes, it's great to have you back in. Oh, we missed you. Oh, you've not been very well.
It's all that old thing.
And now it's like, go on then, entertain us. Go on. You had one free ride.
I get like that when I get a new top though.
Yeah, it's true.
Once it's been washed once.
We were talking about auras.
Yes.
Rita Auras.
Not her again.
I have gone right off her.
Why?
Well...
Seen too much of her.
yeah, pretty much. You know the Kim Kardashian nude selfie?
Yeah.
Am I the only person that couldn't find it online? And I spent
Which one?
She did a new...
The one recently?
Yeah.
With the...
The what?
Well, she'd sort of blanked out her...
It was blanked out. There wasn't a pre-blanked...
No, but I think you can probably piece it together from other things she's done.
I had to draw it in. I had to print it off and draw it in with a pencil.
Oh, well.
Although she should have made that clear. That's misleading then, because I spent a good afternoon...
trying to work out how to...
Trying to find it. Yeah. Trying to find the uncensored one. That's disappointing.
Well, do you know what else?
Yeah.
Some say...
Yes.
It was taken before the last baby, and so this idea that it was to show off her post-baby body was nonsense.
Auras, right. The mystical... mythical idea that you are able to look at somebody and you can tell what they're feeling, whether they're evil or good, whether they're happy, sad.
What colour's an evil aura?
Oh, purple.
Oh, I'd say green.
Well, but you don't believe in auras.
No.
And I don't believe in most of this mumble jumble, but I do believe in auras. And I think when I was younger, I used to be able to see them. Seriously, I remember being at school and seeing Mr. Dunn giving a talk, and he was surrounded by these beautiful colours.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was he a very beautiful person?
No.
Oh.
No. He was a cold man. He always wore flares. It's a brave thing, right? He was a nice enough bloke. I didn't get on with him, but he was doing a good job. But he would wear 3-piece suits, right? This was in 1989.
Okay.
That were really from 12 years previous. You know, the big flares.
They're like a grey blue colour.
Yeah, they were. You know it. Yeah. Big flares that man had on, and big wide. What do they call this?
Is this a lapel?
Yeah. Huge. And that's a bold move to make in a school where, and I'm not saying he should have, you know, pimped up or anything, but it's a bold move to do that in a school with teenagers, in a school in Slough, which is, let's be honest, is a dump, and where you know that bullying and teasing are de rigueur.
Mm.
And I only found out that de rigueur, what that means, after I left that school.
Because if you'd have learnt that at that school,
yeah,
your life would not have been worth living.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
So we can... What were we talking about? Auras. And I could see his aura. And I think...
Was it the tight suit?
No, I think the auras are real.
Oh, come on.
Why are you pulling that face? You don't know...
Because of science.
Well, you can take pictures of auras, mate. So you've just proved my argument.
Yeah, but only if you've got a magic camera and you only get those from special people that you have to pay a lot of money to. I'll take your picture with a magic camera if you like, if you pay me £50.
You're talking nonsense.
Oh.
Really? Because you can go, if you go to a psychic fair, where everybody at a psychic fair, right, let's be honest.
You even have a waltzer.
Everybody at a psychic fair is basically, they should just call it Chancerville, right? Because they're all chancers, yeah. Right? By the way, if there are any psychics listening that want to come on the show and do it live, beautiful.
My friend Becky had a reading at a psychic fair and I wasn't allowed to sit next to her. But she got a tape.
Oh, yeah.
And when we went back to my flat afterwards and listened to the tape,
yeah.
I know why I wasn't allowed to sit next to her.
Yeah.
Because it was bullshine. It was clearly bullshine.
We've got the Scottish comedian Limmy hopefully coming on in June. He does a brilliant... He does a brilliant psychic character. And I'm trying to think of one that I can say. Basically, he tells the people really bad things.
Well,
your dad's here, and he says your boyfriend's, he likes to play around, doesn't he? He likes to play around with other girls, doesn't he? Oh, cheeky.
Oh, dear.
He's a cheeky one. It's all that. I'm so excited we've got Limmy coming on. Anyway, okay, how can you take a picture of an aura if it doesn't exist?
You can't. It's a special camera. You know, you've got filters these days. Have a look on Twitter, you can do your filter on there.
Hang on a minute, I was expecting this to be the Halloween music.
Fake like a newscaster, tongue in cheek.
Oh.
Racial divisions have soda pop speaking.
There we go. We can get rid of that. That's not what I was expecting it to be. But you can. It does. It's a science. It does actually exist. 0844-499-1000. It does actually exist, and it works. It works. That technology works.
What colour's yours?
Why would you not have an aura? But why would you not? This is the thing. It makes sense to me.
Why?
That it would exist. Oh, for crying out loud. You know when fire brigade go into a building, right? It's collapsed building. And they take those things. And you can see people's auras through brick.
That's not an aura. That's your thermal image.
I don't wear them. Unless it's really cold. All right. Police camera dog's body, right?
Thermal imaging camera.
When there's a fella, right, who's being chased by the coppers,
yeah.
And he ducks in the woods.
Okay.
So the helicopter goes up and you can see him through the trees. Right. What's that if that's not an aura?
Okay, so you're telling me that the houses that just so happen to have massive cannabis factories in the roof have all got auras as well? Or is that hydroponic light transmitting heat and therefore being picked up by the thermal imaging, not magic cameras?
I've literally no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you don't watch enough police camera action.
How do you know... Two ways to know that your neighbour is... Oh, listen to this, by the way. Do you know this? Can you recognise this song? Okay. It's the Imperial,
Star Wars.
It's the Imperial Death March. How? Here's two ways. We'll go to a break in 17, am I right? 17 for the break? So, yeah, why not? How do you? Two ways to know that your neighbour is growing cannabis in the loft.
One, they come round and tell you that their cat has let a burglar in. That happened.
Did that happen to you? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
the cat let the burglar in and then shut the window afterwards, apparently.
Three ways, then.
Okay. When it snows...
Here we go. You've got it. Go.
Theirs is the first house to have a melted roof.
Yep, because they're growing cannabis. Mm-hmm. Second one.
You get an expensive electricity bill.
No, you don't, because it's not your house.
They might do a spur on you.
They might do. No, I tell you how you know. Sagging roof, because it sucks all the moisture out of the building, so the roof sags. Mm. And that's when you know you should go knock on your neighbour's door and see if they've got a tent they can give you.
Thankfully, that doesn't happen in my neighbourhood.
No. Certainly not in my neighbourhood either. We'll be having none of that. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. John Sebastian's coming on in about 15 minutes.
In unrelated news.
How high has that man been? And that's going to be one of the questions. John, how high have you been? I mean, really. Go on to YouTube and look at John Sebastian playing at Woodstock, right?
Very glassy-eyed.
Wow. We watched it before. I mean, it's such a famous clip. And the thing is, I know he's been asked that question a million times. I've got to ask him, John, how high were you at Woodstock? I mean, because he is grinning away, licking his lips, and his eyes are just not there at all.
But playing beautifully, singing like an angel.
Yeah, that's what he does. I'm actually quite nervous about John Sebastian coming on.
So am I.
Because I don't really know...
If he's going to answer the phone.
Well, we don't know if he's going to answer the phone. But I don't know that much about him, really. I know all the other people we interview, I kind of know a bit about. Stephen Page yesterday, and we've got... Dennis from Doctor Hook tomorrow. I know about him. And we've got Andy Partridge on Thursday. I know about those guys. I could, you know, I probably know more about their lives than they know. With John, I don't really know much about him. And that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But we'll find out.
If he answers the phone.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number.
Night conversation, wealth, losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There we go. It's fine, they don't want to call in, it's fine. It's shit. Who would seriously, at 20 minutes past 11, want to call a radio station? Yeah, they all wanted to do it yesterday because they all wanted to suck up to me. That's fine. Now I'm a hero. Oh! 0844 499 1000 if you want to call up. You're more than welcome to. Otherwise, I'll just sit here chatting.
I think they have taken pictures of their auras.
Yeah, well, they are. If you want to tweet your picture of your aura, then, you know, sure, why
we'll
the
hell
not?
We'll look at it.
I have been invited to a top swanky, I said swanky, lunch.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit nervous because I would refuse this outright. Okay. Because I don't like, you know, I don't like going to things. I don't like people, and I'm very shy, and things like that make me very, very uncomfortable. I wish I had that burger. I told you I hate eating before a show.
Is there anything you like today, or...?
I'm sorry?
You don't like people, you don't like burgers?
I like good music. I do. I've been invited to a private eye lunch.
Is there a plus one in this scenario? Because I'm quite presentable.
It just said, I'm not taking you to a posh lunch with me. You'll embarrass me. Oh. Or they might like you more.
They will.
So I'm not having that. I've been invited to a lunch, a private eye lunch, because I was in Private Eye this week. Not the funniest of articles I've ever read in there, to be honest. I don't really.
But it could have been far worse. You could have been the subject of a funny article.
I came off heroic.
Yes. Right.
And then I've been invited to a lunch from the assistant to the editor. Now, is the editor Ian Hislop?
Yes.
So Ian Hislop is aware of me.
Well, no. His secretary is.
Hang on a second. She wouldn't be inviting people willy-nilly without him being aware that they were being invited.
You think?
Well, yeah, I know.
If he was doing the inviting, then he wouldn't need a secretary, would he?
Assistant, not even secretary. What is this, 1983? Assistant. So he would say, well...
Don't do an impression, because if you meet him, he's going to say so.
He's not going to be listening to this, is he? He'll be listening to Radio 4 or even Radio 3. Radio 3.
Don't.
No? Harrow? 2:30? So, get me Lee! I want Lee at my party! Is what he would have said.
You reckon?
And then I'm going to have to go.
Do you think he'll hold a grudge if you don't?
I don't want them to lambast me on Have I Got News For You or in the Private Eye magazine.
Think about this, right? He's just a human being. Everyone's going to be slightly intimidated by the idea of going to a Private Eye party.
No, they
won't. If that little fella's left sitting on his own all afternoon?
Don't call him a little fella.
It's
all going to be like Boris Johnson there, isn't it? And Tony Blair.
I don't think they're besties.
And Peter Cook. And all those kind of people there. All the clever people.
The intelligentsia.
Yes. I don't speak Latin. But it'll be all the clever people there. And then it'll be little old me, you know. And I'm just worried. I don't like making conversation with you.
No.
So making conversation with now, is the hoi polloi the posh or the common people?
Common, I think.
Plebs?
Is common.
Who's the posh people? Toffs. Lord Snooty and his pals. Lord Snooty and his pals. There was a comic strip, if ever there was one.
I have a lot on Tony Broke.
There you go, you see. Mm. Were those calls worth talking to, Ed? Did they hang up? Whoever calls up, whack them through. You know, whack them through. I'm just a little bit nervous about going to it, really.
Yeah.
Because I know what I will do. Oh, yeah, that one's worth putting through. It's Katia who's calling him.
Although I can understand what it would be off-putting.
If anyone calls up, we'll take any old nonsense on this show. I've been to showbiz parties before, and what I do is I go... What I do now is I go and I sit in the... I just sit in the corner and I have a glass of lemonade and I hate myself. I hate myself.
Do you sing a little song in your head?
No.
Do that next time.
No. What song should I...
Whenever I feel afraid, I strike what?
No.
It works. I've seen it on a documentary.
And I go home
the King and I.
And I hate myself even more.
Mm. All right. Well, what you're saying to me, and I'm reading between the lines.
Yep.
Okay. And as your friend, I feel I can say this to you.
Yep.
You don't want to go.
But I feel I should do. Do you know I turned down, right? Gigs you've turned down. I turned down hosting Have I Got News For You.
Mm.
Imagine that.
I would be petrified of that too.
That's why I did it. I was terrified. I was terrified. And I made up all these excuses. And I turned it down. And it's, you know, I've made some pretty lousy career choices in my life.
Mm. And outside the career.
Sorry?
Well, you know, just decisions.
Why are you doing that?
Well...
I don't... That's a bit rude.
Like those shoes that time.
No, don't. Let's not do that. But I'm going to go. I'm going to make myself go.
I'm really surprised because I thought you were revving up too. So I'm not going. Nope. And I'll say that's fair enough.
No, I'm going to make myself. I should make myself go, shouldn't I, John?
Yes.
Thank you very much indeed.
Every time.
It's John Sessions.
What you got for us, John?
First of all, Ian, I want to say, man, it's great to have you back. I know you're getting bored of everyone, you know, sucking up to you and everything, but
no,
it really
it.
Is good.
No,
to have
I'm
you back.
Not. I'm not bored of everyone sucking up to me. I just find it. I don't know how to deal with it, and it makes me uncomfortable. No. But I'm learning. I believe this is an American phrase. Actually, the Americans are pretty spot on about most things. I'm learning to take the compliment. So thank you for that, John. I appreciate it.
No, my pleasure, man. And you know, I'm kind of I follow you on Twitter, so I'm aware of what you've been through. And I just want to wish you the best in as you go forward in the future. I mean, you just need to, you know, you're doing well. You need to be strong. And anyway, that's enough. I want to tell you a funny story. Can I tell you about something that happened to me,
mate? Please, this is when the suits got together and said we need to create a brand new radio station. We're going to call it Talk Radio. What, like the old station? Yeah, we own the name and we own the font. This is what they created it for. This moment here, John. Away you go. Let's hear your funny story.
And I feel under no pressure after that build-up. Thank you.
None at all.
I was in Costa Coffee. It could have been another coffee shop, but it was Costa Coffee,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
And I had my... I ordered my cappuccino and one of those lemon slice things, like a tart lemony thing.
I would never, I would never choose that. I would never choose that. And I would never choose a carrot cake, although my boy has started asking for carrot cake.
Has he?
It's a weird one. Carrots in a cake.
Delicious.
No.
Is that his mother's influence, do you think?
I don't know who has put carrots in his mind, but this nonsense has to stop. This sickness has to be curtailed.
It's got gone too far, man. Anyway, listen, I was through my halfway through my lemon tart thing, and I had a an attack of. I'm just going to say I had an IBS attack, right? So yeah. I had to go to the toilet. Oh. I'm in a bit of a rush.
Yeah.
So I'm.
And when
I
had a friend with irritable bowel syndrome, when it comes on, you got to get out of there.
There's nothing you can do.
You've
right?
got so to I'm evacuate in every sense of the word.
I was in mid-evacuation when the door burst open, right?
Yeah.
So I've obviously not locked it properly. Anyway, the woman who opened it, instead of just sort of calmly shutting it and carrying on with the day, said yes. in a loud voice, "Oh, my God!" So now the whole restaurant knows that some sort of incident has occurred of great embarrassment in the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got to walk all the way through this busy restaurant on a Saturday lunchtime. Not only this, I'm a big lad, right? I'm hot anyway, and then the embarrassment of the situation has brought on quite a sweat.
Yeah.
So I had to walk through the restaurant with this kind of flushed expression. It was just, you
flushed.
Know, like...
If only you could have.
I just wanted to be in... I should have done that before I left. I should... And,
did you not flush?
The worst thing was, I couldn't... I was flustered, man. I just had to get out of there.
Oh, you... Oh, no, hang on a minute, John.
You did a hit and run.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I did. I apologise to the person who...
But now that is
woman, man, she got just desserts in the first place, right?
That is unbelievable, John. Listen, yeah, I admit that you. Okay, I accept your disability. IBS it is a horrible disease. There's been a few jokes about it recently because of the whole IDS thing.
Yeah.
I have friends who suffer with it. It's horrible. It's flipping horrible.
It is. But mate, it was a high speed evacuation. Do you know what I mean?
But mate, you've got to give back to society. You've got to flush the lavvy.
All right. Well, I tell you what. I think I have paid it back already because. Previously to that, I was in another restaurant where they didn't have any toilet roll in the toilet, so I told the man behind the bar because, you know, I'm the kind of guy that would do that, right? So I'd rather be judged on that incident than the...
What did you wipe your body
incredibly
on?
Incredibly embarrassing. Well, I had a tissue in my pocket, so I was all right. I could have just said, you know, leave it. The next person can suffer, but I didn't.
John, thank you very much indeed.
It's the yin and yang of life.
I've used a sock once.
Have you?
Yep. They had nothing.
Was it your own sock?
Yeah. I took a sock off. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
How's America?
I'm not there. I just thought you would remember me if I said that.
Oh, it's Lisa from America.
Yeah.
We've got people listening. My friends who do an excellent Monkeys podcast. I don't know which friends it is. I don't know if it's Melanie or Sarah or Ken, but that we have the Zilchcast people are listening. So happy holidays! Is that what they say?
Yeah.
I do remember you, Lisa. You came. What? You, where did you? You came and saw
I went
me.
To Jerry Corder Quartet, and yes. I've been to two of your shows.
Yes, you have. Blimey, there's a blast from the past. Lisa, what have you? I've not got much time, so we're going to a break, and then in a second, then we're going to John Sebastian. Go and sort that out for us, please, Kath. But Lisa, what have you got for us?
No, I'm just happy to hear you back on radio. I'm recovering from surgery. I had. Kidney cancer, so I'm minus one kidney, but I'm doing excellent.
It is a weird thing, right? Why have we got two kidneys when we only need one?
What's that all about? But I guess it's good because if one goes bad, then you're not gone.
But are you all right? Is it all? Are you fixed?
I'm fixed. I haven't got the full complete blessing yet, but I have full faith in them that I've been cured.
mate, I'm so pleased. It's my mum went through cancer last year, and they cured her. They fixed her. The NHS performed miracles. She was going down for She was going down for surgery to have a breast removed, and the surgeon said we can't find the lump. They're doing all the pre-prep stuff. We can't find the lump. We're going to have to postpone the surgery. And I kind of got a bit stroppy, and then she went back for another scan, and they said, oh, it's gone. And they cured her. They cured her before she said she didn't have to go and have that done. Lisa, listen, I've got to move on. It's so nice to talk to you. I'm
all
glad
right,
you're well.
Great to hear you on the way again.
I wish you a very speedy recovery. Lisa, thank you very much indeed. We're going to have John Sebastian after this.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Just getting along, so they split each in their own way. Now one lives here and one lives there, and my wife's folks did the same. Now we got a son, he's got next to no one. Every
everybody's so spread out. He's got his next of kin right next to him, but after that we've learned to say,
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. It's, we're not a music station, so I'm not really supposed to play anything. But flipping it, I have been digging John Sebastian all my life, and for the last few weeks, I've got these wonderful little box sets here, and it has been the soundtrack in my car. I'm very excited. If I say hello, I think John Sebastian, are you there?
Absolutely, I am, and I am delighted to hear you playing that particular tune that gets no airplay in the U.S.
It's That's a brilliant, wonderful. It's a brilliant, I say it's a brilliant song, it's an upbeat song about divorce.
I know, it's cheery, it's friendly.
John, it's such a thrill to speak to you, and I'm doing my darndest to avoid playing the obvious stuff. The Loving Spoonful, you had massive, massive hits.
Good on you, as they say in Australia.
There is this delightful box set, because I got the Loving Spoonful albums, got them. Then I got this delightful box set of four of your solo albums from the 70s. Right.
Yes, I know the one.
And it's, I mean, I was aware of the John B. Sebastian album, which is a joy. You know, every home should have one of those. But I was not quite so aware of the Tarzana Kid and the Welcome Back LPs. Man alive, right. You've done some cracking stuff. Does it disappoint you, John, that I imagine whenever you do an interview, it starts off with Summer in the City and it ends with Daydream. Does it disappoint you that you've done dozens of other songs that are equally good, if not better, and they get overlooked a bit?
Well, you know, you got to be glad for what you get, I think, is the moral there. I have had a very fortuitous songwriting career compared to many of the cats that I looked up to, not just that were my contemporaries, but that I thought were a lot better. And so I can't really say that, but I am pretty much recognition free. You're right.
Oh no, they're all a joy. I mean, you're a big boy now, and Red Eye Express. I mean, come on, man, that's a great song. When you left the Spoonful, and if I've got this right, the wheels kind of came off it, and it sort of fell apart a bit. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what did you think was going to happen? Did you think you would kind of have as much success with a solo career?
Well, I was just glad to be able to get on to whatever was coming next.
Yeah,
and for me, it didn't really have much to do with more than making records. And for me, what the fun was going to be was an idea that Paul Rothchild and I had unhatched, which was, let's make an album of songs, because you, John, write all over the board. You don't write in this one bag. Let's pick the right players for every song.
Yeah.
And that entailed going to a number of different, musical atmospheres.
Yeah.
And it was delicious to do. I had really enjoyed working with the Spoonful, and part of the process is that you eventually say, yeah, and I'd love to play with other people too, and not just new strangers, but people that, because I'd had a odd little accompanist's career before I ever was in the Spoonful, a lot of my contemporaries that were in that same position were now, many of them, quite visible guys, and I was going to delight in being able to invite people like Stephen Stills and Graham Nash and David to...
Well, you read the back of this box set, right? These are some of the people on there. David Crosby, Stephen Stills, Graham Nash, Dallas Taylor, the Iketts, Phil Everly, Ry Cooder, Emmylou Harris, the Pointer Sisters. I mean, what a list of superstars.
It was a lovely period of our history when artists had the flexibility and the cash to be able to do something like that.
Can I ask? Is it true? I'm going to try and avoid some of the obvious stuff, John. But there is some famous stories that I do need to hear. But I've got a few myths that I want to clear up. Is it true that it was very nearly Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Sebastian?
Oh, I couldn't go that far with you, actually.
Okay.
Because what happened was mainly a conversation that was sort of in play for a week or more. And the conversation went something like this. We can't find a drummer. We don't want somebody that just goes tick, 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 boom, tick, 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 boom, because we're sort of, it's like an acoustic effort here that Stills was putting out. There was something distinctly new about his vision for the way that band was going to come together.
Yeah.
I did watch several stages of it because I had invited the band up to my house in Long Island. And
wow.
They were rehearsing in my little music barn and playing with people like Harvey Brooks and Paul Harris and wonderful. And in fact, somewhere just before that, I had heard Dallas Taylor in a band called Clear Light that had recorded with Paul Rothchild, who was my main conduit into all of this studio work that had preceded our actual product, you know, producer-artist relationship. All the Spoonful stuff marvelously with Eric Jacobson, and in fact, I did get a chance later on to do another one in Tarzan the Kid with him. But the idea that Paul and I carried forward there, I mean, it was wonderful to be able to carry that out.
Here on this show, me and my producer, Catherine, we are huge Cass Elliot fans. We love Cass, and her solo albums from the 70s that get criminally overlooked. When did you first meet Cass, and how delightful was she?
Oh, my God. I thought I had my children's Jewish aunt all picked out. That's all I can tell you. I thought it was a clear shot. But I first met Cass in one of my very first real professional out-of-town gigs, which was an accompanist for a young baritone by the name of Valentine Pringle.
Oh, Valentine Pringle, there's a name.
Oh, there's a name, right?
What an act.
and Valentine had an enormous baritone voice.
Yeah.
And was opening, I believe the sequence was I did one show up in Toronto, and then we did our second show in Washington, D.C. And at this club called The Shadows, I ended up meeting several of the components of my later what would be success, which was I met Cass Elliot in the first day, who, because she was in a group called the Big Three, and that was the closing act, when several months later the Mugwumps formed, and I came to, I don't know whether I was there mainly to play harmonica or mainly deliver a kilo to them, but I was there for this 2 weeks.
So did you say to deliver a kilo?
Yes, I said deliver a kilo.
You mean of hashish?
No, I you know, Americans aren't privy to that kind of quantity. Oh.
A kilo of what?
No, it was just modest and, you know, medium grade marijuana.
Right.
And but they were saying that, boy, we there's no pot here. Please bring. So I did, and I lasted a couple of weeks, and then the management told me by remote control that I was no longer needed because I was a bad influence on Zalianowski, who by then was playing in the Mugwumps.
Yeah.
And but the guy who had to deliver the message was the younger guy. His name was Bob Cavallo. This is who would, within like the next day, say, look, okay, so, you know, I'm kind of an underling here, but if you ever need, like, management or anything, give me a call.
Yeah.
And so it was that when the Mugwumps disintegrated, that Zal brought Bob Cavallo to the team, and I brought Eric Jacobson. But let me get back to your Cass Elliott.
John, can I hold you there for a second? I've got to pay the rent. Can I come back to you in about 30 seconds?
Go ahead.
Stay
go
there,
ahead.
Boss. Here we go.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
With the subway lullaby. When I dream.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. John Sebastian is still on the line. Hey, John, thank you for waiting. Cass, get back to Cass. What was she like?
Well, to me, Cass really was the center of our little musical universe. I mean, not always musically, but simply as the keeper of this kind of living room relationship with all of these wonderful players. And as you know, she was pivotal in many cases in saying, oh, no, you, Steve, and you, Graham, really ought to sing together with Crosby.
Yeah.
So, stuff like that.
Okay, here's another one. You were nearly... I don't know. I don't mean to. Listen, I'm a huge fan of the Monkees, so I don't want this to sound rude. You were nearly the Monkees.
In retrospect, I know it's true. It went by so fast, and we gave it so little credence that it is remarkable to me how often that continues to be mentioned.
Really? I'm a huge Monkees fan, was it ever a serious consideration? You, the Loving Spoonful, being offered the TV show, or was it just you had the meeting and went, "Nah, this is not for us"?
Not serious.
Yeah,
not serious. And I mean, part of it was no, this isn't us becoming them. No. Them, we're not them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really was a case of a culture, a youth culture that was a few steps ahead of the game, and the Spoonful were lucky in that we had something to offer, and I guess it was an obvious choice for somebody, but who would want to suddenly be a part of a television show where you would, what would you do? The first thing you'd do was give up any kind of artistic control. You know, they'd be telling you the songs, or I don't know what they'd do. I kind of watched that all from a distance. Peter Torkelson had been a friend of mine. I didn't really know the other guys and came to know them just a little bit through Henry Diltz.
The famous photographer, and of course, Henry Diltz would have been hanging around with you guys.
Yes, that's right, and he was. And Henry actually had some of his very first experiences as a photographer when Eric Jacobson said, look, I've got this new band, and would you please just take some 8x10 glossies so I have some pictures? And that was us.
What are you doing now, John? Do you still get the muse? Do you still wake up at 2 a.m. going, I've got to get my guitar and write this down?
Well, my guitar is right next to my bed, just in case. That does occasionally happen to me, maybe not with the same frequency, but there's also the incredible change that all of us songwriters have experienced of basically being told, you know what, your material is now worth about, let's say, between a sixth and an eighth of what it was worth.
Yeah.
And so you know, live on that, pal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't whitewash it. I can't afford to do what I was doing in those days. I couldn't get together, I'm lucky. Me and Jerry Murata and David Grisman can clutch here in Woodstock in a little studio that I know of. But, you know, on the scale of what was going on then, you know, I couldn't hire the S.O. Trinidad Steel Band.
But you're still playing gigs as well, aren't you, John? You're still doing
absolutely.
Shows.
Absolutely. I play almost every week, except in these January, February months, I sort of discourage people from hiring me. But now we're getting back to the season where I'll be in Nashville in a couple of weeks, and Atlanta, and I'm playing out on Long Island. And
what have we got to do to get you over here in the UK?
It's the offers. All it is offers. I can't say, well, I'd really like to play the Royal Albert, you know.
Yeah. So someone starts waving some cash, then it might be possible.
What's really going to happen is that there very well might come a series of offers, and it's not that a few offers haven't come in, but it really is a period in my life when, hey, within these last year and a half, I've had 2 grandchildren.
Wow.
My 2 in my life. So it was like kind of a, you know, kind of a little thumb wiggling. Fellas, you had a great chance there, and you know, the window closed for a while, but it'll open up again.
I am friends with Howard Kalin from the Turtles.
Lovely man.
A lovely man who wants to get in touch with you. He, if you don't mind, may I pass on your email address to him?
Because most assuredly. I don't know how he lost mine. I've had the same phone number for 40 years.
I'll tell him and I'll send him your email. He told me that you taught him and kind of all of those musicians from the 60s how to tie-dye. Were you the tie-dye master?
Well, I wasn't, but I knew her. Annie Thomas was a wonderful batik artist who turned to tie-dye in the 69 and 70 time period on a lovely plot of Burbank, California, headed down into where all that television is done, in a little... it was like an enclave of houses and garages that were, it wasn't like, it wasn't communal in that we didn't like sit down and have dinner together.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that everybody was sleeping with everybody else. It was about 5 or 6 different, there was a photographer, I guess I fit the musical profile, and also Cyrus Faryu from the Modern Folk Quartet was the sort of, the guy that had actually rented the property. And that property really was pivotal in getting tie-dye happening because lots of people visited that property, usually on weekends, usually in a party atmosphere. And one of the things that had happened was that once Annie started to introduce tie-dye, and that particular type of tie-dye, which had lye involved in its process and was effective for about 4 hours before it would just die. So you had, so you say you had intended to do something like when I intended to do my jacket that ended up at Woodstock.
Yeah.
So I have all of these different little points of different colors that I have mapped out, and I start dipping them, and eventually I get to where I've dipped them all. And now here's this dye that's still good for 2 hours. And what happens? Everybody starts stripping their clothes off. and at that location, more people came with, you know, white plain clothes and left with this wild tie-dye. It's funny you should mention it, because at my home tonight here in Woodstock, New York, as of about a week ago, I began dissecting one of my storage lots, and one of the things that I uncovered was every bit of tie-dye from 1970.
Oh, man, you've got to send that. You got to send the tie-dye and talk, John. I could talk to you tonight. I've got to let you go. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your music. JohnSebastian.com is if people want to see what you're up to and order your CDs and stuff like that. And I hope you enjoyed that, John. I didn't even ask how high you were at Woodstock, which I'm sure you've been asked a million times.
Really enjoyed the break.
it's been a real thrill. I've had a big grin on my face. Thank you so much, John. Take care, mate.
Thanks, Al.
There we go. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John Sebastian. I mean, come on. Come on. Every bit. I mean, what a joy. I remember interviewing Ray Davis from the Kinks. The instruction was, don't mention the Kinks. I mean, and you get John, someone like John, and you can ask him anything. What a delight. JohnSebastian.com is the website, and that box set is a real treat.
Talk radio.
Yes, I've got a big grin on my face. What a nice man John Sebastian is. What an absolute thrill and a delight. We'll certainly put a bit of that in the podcast. Right, last hour of the show. 0844, don't say double, 499-1000. Don't call just yet. I tell you what we'll do. Once we've had the news and stuff, don't call. Once we've had the news, I'll kind of set up the show again, and we'll take calls straight to air for a little bit and just see if that's the game you want to play. Okay? Good. Coming up to midnight, let's get the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio.
Ian Lee, on air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Sometimes I have to pinch myself. I think, do you know what? I'm getting paid for this. I'm getting paid. We'll take calls straight to her in a second. I'm getting paid to sit here and talk to John Sebastian from The Loving Spoonful. I could have spoken to him for another hour. I've started. I didn't used to do this, but because I want to get this job right and not screw this one up, I started writing down questions for interviews and stuff. And normally I don't. I just go in and have a chat. But I got through about a third of it. I didn't ask him about Robin Williams. I didn't ask him about John Lennon stealing his granny glasses. I didn't ask him about working with Brian Wilson. Didn't ask him about Bob Dylan or the fact that he was in a band called Knoblick. I didn't ask him any of those. He was in a band called Knoblick. I think. And that remains in the ether. Didn't ask him about what the Loving Spoonful, whether it actually means that. Anyway, absolute delight. JohnSebastian.com. The two box sets I've got, and I recommend these because you can get these for like about 10 quid on Amazon, right? And they're a joy. So there's the Loving Spoonful album collection, which has got 5 CDs. The first 3 are brilliant. The fourth one's quite good. The last one's rubbish, right? And then the joy, the hidden gems, the John Sebastian box set. It's got John B. Sebastian, The Four of Us, Tarzana Kid, and Welcome Back. And a DVD. And it's just, Oh, it's just full of gems, hidden gems. It's a joy. I'll tell you what we'll do for the last hour of the show is... I'm acutely aware this is a brand new radio station. It's primarily on DAB. And I'll take calls straight to air. Don't you worry about that. It's primarily on DAB and online. And it's going to start off with a smaller audience. It's going to grow, of course. That's, you know, because it's a cracking station. But you know that it's going to be a little bit quiet on the calls. I'm acutely aware of that, and I'm not worried in the slightest. So we'll get to a point, I think, in a few months where we'll get a steadier stream. But saying that, for the last hour of the show, I'm going to sit here and talk nonsense, and you can call up and join in calls straight to air. 0844 499 1000. The way it works, you call up, I touch a screen, and I go, line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, yes.
This is Ken Mills.
Ken, are you in America?
I'm in America.
Ken, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Ed to call you back. I didn't realise you were in America, and it might cost you a few quid. Ken, we're going to call you back, buddy, because it might cost you a couple of quid, and I don't want that. But if you're listening and you're not in America and you want to call up and go straight to air, then why the hell not? It works like this. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, is that Ian Lee?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hello, Ian. It's Brian here. I'm from Newcastle. I've just wanted to say that I absolutely love your voiceovers on Channel 5.
The cats make you lol.
Yes.
Yep.
The cats make me absolutely laugh. And dogs.
Yep.
And
budgies. Budgies and other birds.
But budgies don't make me laugh.
Budgies are funny, aren't they?
I suppose they can be, but not as funny as dogs and cats.
Dogs. Did you see the one about old women and men?
Yes, I actually did.
Did you laugh at that?
No.
Oh.
I didn't know. It's difficult for me to laugh sometimes, but I only really laugh at dogs or cats.
Okay.
And I think that what you've done on there is brilliant, you know.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you very much indeed. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Ian.
Yes?
Ian.
Yes?
Ian.
Yes?
It's Alan from Glasgow.
Yeah, it's Alan from Glasgow.
Hey.
I tell you, I know what's missing from this studio, Alan. I haven't got a meter to tell me if I'm peaking or not. Because I tell you why, because you're really... I'm having a little bit of trouble with my levels in my ears, is what I'm trying to say, OK?
Uh-huh.
Where the phone calls are quite loud, and I'm having to turn my headphones up, and then I deafen myself with my voice. So a meter would be helpful, but maybe I'm asking for the moon on a stick. I don't know. I just don't know.
OK.
Anyway, Alan, you don't need to know that. What you got for us, boss?
Not much.
OK, well, thanks very much for calling. 0844 499 1000. Ken, you were on Skype, so it was free anyway. So you can get back in. Is that him on line one? Isn't it funny? It says that. Ken, is that you?
Yes, this is me.
Hey, man, how you doing? I didn't realise you were on the Skype. For those not in the know, and we kind of know each other a little bit, tell the boys and girls where exactly in the United States of America you are.
I am in Arkansas, which is towards the southern part of the nation.
The southern part of the nation.
So we don't get much snow.
The thing about America is, right, it's a brilliant country. I love it. But it's so vast. It's like about 30 different countries.
I know, and it's like you go on, like you guys take day trips over there. You can take a day trip and not really get anywhere.
Well, everyone over here is all very snobbish, and we think we're better than you lot because a lot of, I don't remember what the percentage is, but a significant percentage of Americans don't have passports. Well, why would they need passports? They've got snow, they've got mountains, they've got deserts, they've got rivers, they've got lakes, they've got beach. You've got everything in America.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't until just a little bit ago you could bop in and out of Canada without someone going, "Let me see your papers."
Yes,
you know?
Well, they've employed Germans to work there. Hey, did you hear John Sebastian?
Yes, it was an excellent interview, and you should talk to him again. You should have him on quite often.
I would get John.
That band?
Say that again.
What was the name of that band?
Which one? The Loving Spoonful or the Monkees?
Knoblickers or
the Knoblickers. He was in a band called Knoblick.
Knoblick. Oh my God.
I know, and I wanted to ask him about it, but I didn't get around to it. You know, this is my job, Ken, is talking to people like that. I've got we've got Dennis Le Corrier from Doctor Hook tomorrow, Andy Partridge from XTC on Thursday. This is my job. Graham Nash is coming on, Ronnie Spector's coming on.
And right now you've got me, so you can wrap up your whole career.
I could yeah. I could finish it now. Ken, what would you like to contribute to the show? Because listen, I know America is a great country, but American radio sucks. Okay, and you can phone up American radio and you can get away with very, very little. I'm doing the shtick now. On British radio, Ken, we demand something. What are you bringing to this party?
Well, for example, I mean, you've already said Knoblick, so you're like, you know, showing the difference right there.
There we go. There we go.
Straight away. I just want to get the rights to make those T-shirts. Knoblick.
you've got the rights. They're yours. I'm giving them to you.
There you go. But no, I'm listening to your new show. This is where you belong.
Oh, bless you.
This is a much better fit for you. This is great.
Ken, because you've sucked up to me, I'm going to allow you to get in one free plug for your excellent Monkees podcast that you do.
Oh, well, thank you very much. But everyone's listening, by the way. We're all gawking over at the Facebook page about Ian Lee and his show.
Well, bless
you.
We're
all listening worldwide, baby. Doing it.
Doing it. Ken, listen, I love you. Thank you so much. Ken is a very nice guy. He does an excellent Monkees podcast. I'm obsessed with the Monkees. You'll find that out, new listener. If you go onto iTunes, type in Zilchcast, it pops up. And I pop on there from time to time. I pop on there from time to time. And if you go on Facebook as well and type in... hang on a second. Ken, what's the Facebook page?
Zilch. It is just
Zilch, isn't it?
Zilch.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Zilch and Monkees podcast. Ken, good to talk to you, mate. Yeah. Take lots of love to everyone, and I'll speak to you soon.
All right, be good.
Thank you, mate. Take care. There we go. 0844 499 1000. Calls cost 7 pence per minute, plus your provider's access charge. Line 2, you're on the wireless.
Hello. I say, you got a pretty mouth.
Deliverance, by the way, is a great film.
My name is Cletus.
Okay, it's a great film. And have you seen Deliverance, Ed?
No. Seen it.
Okay. It's what's great about it is, right, he's on speakerphone. That's why it's kind of musing out. Is Burt Reynolds, okay? And people think of Burt Reynolds. They think of Smokey and the Bandit 2. They think of Smokey and the Bandit 3, but he's not in it. They think of those kind of 70s where he's playing an over-the-top character. In Deliverance, Burt Reynolds is acting, man. He's acting. Isn't he, Line 2?
Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed. He's acting. I haven't seen Deliverance for ages. I mean, it's horrific. You know what happens in it, don't you?
No idea of the plot.
Wow.
I know. Maybe I need to go. This is my homework for tomorrow.
Watch Deliverance. So the phrase squeal like a piggy means nothing to you?
No.
Wow. Enjoy. Oh. You won't. It's horrific. Line 3, you're on the wireless.
I was laughing at that last call. Do you just get people randomly phoning up and playing music clips down the phone? Is that a thing now, is it?
If that's what people choose to do, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite cool. I should have chosen myself, really. I didn't realise that was the thing that you did. Isn't it a waste of 7 pence a minute? I don't know. Anyway, sorry. How are you doing? I just want to say hello. I've listened to your show over the last few nights and I thought they've been very good.
Well, it's only night two tonight. It's going all right. Listen, it's really early days. I haven't worked for a few months, and so it's a new station. We're getting there slowly.
Well, I listen to the whole thing because I do a lot of driving around the country.
Uh-oh.
And shoved on talk radio, and it's been quite jolly. John Holmes is a bit of a nutter, But you know,
what's been? I tell you, let's do this, Nigel, because it's a new station, yeah. And the bosses will want the feedback. What's been the highlight for you of talk radio so far? And what's been the low light?
Well, the highlight was on John Holmes' show. There was I don't know if you sort of bother tuning into your colleague's shows through the day, but there was a very heated debate about tunnels in Wales.
Yes.
Yeah, and basically there was someone sort of, I think there's something to do with a tunnel closing for a month or something because it needs to be electrified. I don't know the full ins and outs, but someone was on the phone sort of complaining and saying that it wasn't good, and someone was on the phone saying that it was a very good thing. And then anyway, push comes to shove, after about 10 minutes, it ended up them discussing murdering their mothers.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was quite a strange one, but... Hey, that's John Holmes for you.
That's just John Holmes. What's been the low light?
The low light. It's difficult to say. I mean, I think the very first Paul Ross show that I heard was a bit. I mean, basically, he spent half an hour just saying the phone number and his name, which I thought was a bit strange.
Well, hang on a minute. I didn't. I heard it. He didn't spend literally 30 minutes going. Paul Ross, 0844-499-1000. Paul Ross, 0844. There must have been a little bit more to it than that.
He did say it was talk radio as well a couple of times.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough.
But no, I mean, you know, it was the first day. You know, obviously, you need to get the name of the station. Which, I mean, to be fair, I think it's still a bit of an odd choice for a name of a station, mind. It's confusing.
Why?
You know, because you type in talk radio in Google and it just comes up with loads of random just talk radio stations, you know?
I know what you mean, but the reason they've gone for it is because Talk is kind of the brand. So you've got TalkSport, TalkSport 2 and Talk Radio. Right, yeah. And also, TalkSport used to be called Talk Radio. When did it change? Like 15 years ago, something like that. So it was the original name of TalkSport, which is why they've kind of brought it back.
AM or something.
Yeah. And also, the big company, the umbrella company, is bringing back Virgin as well. Virgin launches next week.
I heard about that, yeah.
It's downstairs.
Is Richard involved, or is he...
I'm not involved. I would love it.
Richard, you know, good old Richard Branson.
Oh yeah, Richard Branson. He was in the other day. They painted the whole building because Branson was coming in.
All right, well, that's good.
Isn't that good? Listen, I've got to move on. Thank you very much indeed. I got to see Kate Lawler's on Virgin, and I worked with Kate. I'm going to say 13 years ago. I did a TV show with her 13 years ago. And I've seen her once since then, and I saw her tonight. The Rise reunion took place this evening, guys, and you missed it. All we needed was Zora and Dougie and the Big Brother guy, and we would have had a full reunion. 0844, I'm guessing there's a break coming up. Yes, 499-1000. We'll take your call straight to air after this.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844-499-1000. So I'm doing Mondays to Fridays, OK? And Kath is producing, and she is presenting a couple of best-ofs over the weekend. I don't know the exact time. As we get closer to the weekend, we'll explore that. And she's doing, I think she's doing a best of me and a best of the output of Talk. And she was putting that together earlier on today, and she's going to be doing the links and stuff. Ed is... I'm calling you a tech op, which is short for technical operator.
Yep.
Is that demeaning to you? What is your job title, Ed?
I do two jobs. So I do this, and then before the show, I produce Johnny Gould featuring Ash. So I'm kind of a producer slash tech op.
Okay.
I'm your tech op.
At the BBC, we weren't allowed to call tech ops tech ops.
Oh.
No.
What did you have to call them?
Oh, I don't know. At the BBC, we had BJs. It's true that we had BJs and we had BAs. Okay. There were never enough BJs. There were always too many BAs. And I think the BA, I never worked, I was only there 4 years. I think the BA was the tech op.
Okay.
But I don't really know.
Like sort of a broadcast assistant BA.
Yeah. And you know what a BJ is, don't you?
In the terms of the BBC?
Oh, wait, 444. So childish. 0844.
This is what happens when Kath leaves the studio to do the podcast.
1,000. Kath's putting the podcast together now. We'll take your call straight to air and just chat. You can phone up and talk nonsense. You can talk about stuff, whatever. I'm not really fussed. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Bird's eye potato waffles. They're waffly versatile.
Thanks very much indeed. Let's go to line two. Line two, you're on the wireless. Hello, line two.
Oh, hi there, Ian.
Hello there.
Hi, it's Ken.
Hello, Ken.
Hi there. I'm also basically Mr. Ribena Rosie, although only you may sort of make bit. Maybe I'd make sense of that.
Yeah. There is a listener, Ribena Rosie. Why is she called that? Because her granddad invented the flipping stuff. So
exactly.
You are her husband. What did now, Ken? What did your grandfather invent? What has your grandfather contributed to the world?
I think the only thing I know about him was that he used to work in the London docks buying fruit from the ships.
Now, was
I never met him.
Was he buying? Do we know if he was buying fruit legitimately? Because a lot of shady stuff went on at the docks back in the day.
He apparently used to buy fruit for the big, you know, for the London market.
Oh, okay. There
so
we
he'd go down there and he'd descend into the ships, the bowels of the ships, to sort of choose the fruit for the, you know, for the big London markets and the big buyers.
I have got, this is making me thinking, I've got huge gaps in my knowledge about my family. I don't really know what either of my granddads did. I don't know how my parents met.
It's funny. Yeah, it's funny you say that. I mean, this is one of those things that's probably going to sound a bit sort of ghoulish. But my dad's no longer around, although my mum is.
Yeah.
But must have been about 15, 20 years ago, I was around my parents one evening, and I was talking to my dad about stuff, and he was giving me a few bits and pieces about, you know, memories of family and stuff. And I said to him, it suddenly occurred to me, if he was to go,
yeah.
I knew very little actual facts about people.
Yeah.
And I got a big bit of A3 paper out, and for the next 2 hours, I tried to actually pin him down.
Oh, mate.
On who people were.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's not ghoulish in the slightest. That's sensible. That's what they used to do in the olden days. That's logging your family's history.
Exactly. And it was surprising when he started asking. I mean, for instance, he'd always told me years ago that he had two female cousins, and I've never heard him refer to them as anything other than fairy and darky. and it was only that evening that I, because he always called me, that I said, okay, well, hang on, why were they called fairy and darky? And he said, well, one was brunette and one was blonde.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, well, okay, that's fine, but who actually were they? So we actually wrote down date of birth, second marriages, third marriages,
yeah,
everything. And the weird thing was, though, that I took that piece of paper away. I then did it for my mum as well. And I did quite honestly say to them, I said, look, can we make the effort? Because if I do lose you unexpectedly, this knowledge will all die with you.
Yeah.
And when we moved house, I thought I'd lost this thing. After the move, I could never find a bit of paper again. My dad died, and I assumed that was the end of it. And then when we did our last house move and I was undoing boxes, I found that piece of paper again. So I've actually got this huge sheet with everything on there, if I can add to it and sort of try to keep it to date, that kind of stuff.
Good for you. I'm trying to find... I didn't see my dad for a lot of my life because we fell out, and I kind of made friends in the last couple of years of his life, and then he died suddenly, this selfish git. but I haven't got anything like that, but I had... hang on a minute. Let me stop John Sebastian. All right, John, we got the idea. Hang on. Hang on a minute. I don't know what's going on here. Hang on. John, stop! He's... Oh, my... Hang on. Go away. Oh, my computer's gone, No. It's gone crazy. I don't know.
It's okay. It's quite a nice background, actually.
It's nice. Where is that coming from me, Ed? Where the hell is that? That's outrageous. Oh, I can't play it then. I've got... It's good music, but I don't know what it is. Hang on a minute.
I thought it was just in my head, but it's actually there, isn't it?
The music is actually there. Let's force quit iTunes. There we go. Force quit. And it's still there!
It is in my head.
What is going on? I'm closing everything. It's gone. Right. It's going back! Right. Oh, no, I can't. Anyway. Oh, well, I can't. What I was saying, I've got no idea what is going on. No, it's, that's it we're going to do. We're going to restart the computer because, There we go.
Perhaps it's coming from the past.
Something. I think we've tapped into something here, Ken. What I was trying to, the point I was trying to make was, I haven't got anything like that. But years and years and years ago, when my sister was born, so it would have been 1970, my mum and dad went into one of those recording booths you used to get in Woolworths, I think, and stations, where they would make a record, and you'd get a physical. Yep. This is before everyone had tape recorders and you know and stuff like that. So you could to record your own voice. Was a real novelty, and hardly anyone was able to do it. And you'd go into these booths, and oh boy, if someone wants to make a few quid, bring back those recording booths, because I would happily slide a tenner into there to get a vinyl record. And they made a record, and I moved house. I was kind of kept this record forever, and I moved house, and I lost that record. And I was heartbroken. I was absolutely devastated. And then, as I was just clearing out a box where it should not have been, I stumbled across this. Hang on. Oh, hang on a minute. It's not... Here we go.
Now, I'm H-A-B-B-Y. I'm H-A-B-B-Y.
That's my dead dad.
I know I am, I'm sure.
And my mum, who's now not very well.
H-A-B-B-Y. Where? H-A-B-B-Y. Where? H-A-B-B-Y.
Ghosts, man. It's ghosts, Ken.
Now we burst into that top song. Come on. Who's your friend?
Come on. Right. And then he gets my sister in, who's a baby, right? And she doesn't want to sing, so he threatens her. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my dad threatening my sister, a baby, with a smack in the ear hole if she doesn't sing. And I've got that forever. I made sure I put it on my computer, so I've got that forever. Ken, I've got to move on. It's been nice chatting, mate. Thank you so much.
Okay, yes.
Cheers, take care. Ta-ta. Sorry, I went off on a bit of a tangent there. My poor dad. He was a bit of an idiot. He was a bit of an idiot, but I miss him. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to talk in a really blokey voice.
Okay, well, you're doing it.
I thought I was, because I'm on talk radio, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about hammers.
Okay, go on then. Sorry, I'm just... Yeah, go on then.
I can't commit to it, I'm sorry.
No, I know, and that's the thing, and I know you want to talk in blokey voice. You've obviously been listening to Julia Hartley Brewer, but we don't all have to be as blokey as she is.
That's pretty good, isn't it, Ian?
Yes, it's not bad.
I'll go polite now.
Thank you very much indeed. Ta-ta. Let's squeeze one more in before we go for the break. Line three, you're on the wireless. Oh, hang on a second. Line three, you're there,
hello,
go on.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. I thought I'd be cut off after yesterday's call.
About cooking late at night? No, that was fine. Just don't cook late at night again, fella, all right?
I will never... do you know who this is?
Oh, is it a lady? I didn't realise. Apologies. It's hard to tell with a voice like that.
Don't you recognise my voice?
Of course I do, yes.
Who is it?
It's my mum.
Listen... Your holding music is really pants. You need to change it.
Okay.
We should be able to listen to you live. Like,
what do you mean? Well, don't have a go at me about how the hold system works.
I'm
already getting told off for the DAB quality and the fact there's no full podcast and the fact that all this stuff. Don't have a go at me about that. I'm just a monkey.
Yes. Chill out. Just press the holding music so we can hear you live.
What is the hold? I assumed you could listen to the output. What is the holding music?
No, it's just music.
What did your granddad do?
What? I've just got in. I don't know what you've been talking about.
What did your granddad do?
I don't know. I'd never met him. He was in the army.
There we go. See, that's that. Thank you very much indeed, Missy. 0844 499 1000. More of your calls after this.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over.
Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On talk radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
This going straight to air thing. I don't know if it's going to be a regular... A regular occurrence. Listen, I'm just aware it's a brand new station. A lot of you don't know who I am, and I know some listeners have come from the other places. May God, your God bless you for that. It's a new station. It's 12:30 on a Tuesday night. We're on DAB and online. We're not on FM. It, by its very nature, it limits the number of people that we're going to have listening and the number of calls we're going to get. So, you know, I have been more than happy with the amount of calls we've had the first couple of shows. I expect that will die down a little bit, and then we'll kind of build up a steady audience. And that's groovy. The straight-to-air thing, I enjoy it. I don't know. Maybe we'll keep doing it. The way it works is you dial 0844 499 1000. Your number comes up on the screen in front of me. I touch the screen and I go, line one, you're on the wireless. And then line one doesn't say anything. Line one, are you there? No, let's try again. Line one, are you there? Line one? No, okay, they've gone. Let's go to line two. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Line 2.
How are you?
I'm really hungry.
Oh.
You're not bothered. You're not bothered, are you? You were doing one of those polite how are yous when really you don't give a stuff. That's what you're doing, aren't you, Line 2?
Well, it's Emma. Hello, my darling. And if I was near to your studios, I might have actually got you something, but as I'm in Coventry, I can't.
Well, that's you've been literally sent to Coventry because you live there.
I've always lived there. Cause, you know, I'm normally a bad girl, aren't I?
Yeah.
I just want to say I'm so happy that you're back on air. And I listened to you last night, and I woke up having a heart attack because I actually put my alarm on for 4 a.m. to get to work.
Was it a literal heart attack?
Not a literal heart attack.
Okay, well, that worried me a little bit when you said I actually woke up having a heart attack. Flipping heck. You're sounding very perky.
No.
Are you laughing or crying?
You're funny.
You've got one of those voices where it's hard to tell if you're laughing or if you're crying, if we're having fun or if I've said too much.
No. I'm happy.
Good. I'm happy.
I
hope you're happy
to you before anyway, haven't I?
Yes.
And anyway, I was nearly late for work because instead of putting my alarm clock for 4 a.m., I put it for 4 p.m.
Oh, blimey.
And I woke up at 4:30.
This is why. 4:30 a.m.?
A.m.
That's not so bad.
No.
That could have been worse.
I had to then really rush, and my friend had to pick me up at 4:45.
Aye, struth.
So it was like, no shower. I felt mingy.
Yeah, mingy.
And it was like, oh, I can't keep listening to Ian Lee, no. But...
What time are you up in the morning now? Today? Tomorrow?
Well, today is different because it's my day off today, but normally I start work at 5 in the morning.
Flipping egg.
So I have to be up for 4.
What, are you a milkman or something?
I'm a cleaner.
Oh,
So I have 2 jobs.
Yeah.
So I start
don't show off.
That one, do 6 hours, and then I'll just do an hour in the afternoon.
Yeah. Okay.
Cleaning as well.
Well, this isn't worth losing your job over. Trust me, because I probably will at some point, but you don't have to lose your job over this.
I know, but it was like, because I haven't listened to you for a long time.
Well, that's
I just thought, no. And I was like a 10-year-old kid, so excited that you're back on the radio.
Well, I've got a watertight contract. I'm here for the next 2 years, he said. No, that's what I thought in the last place. Emma, it's nice to talk to you. I'm going to move on. I'm going to go to line one. You're on the wireless.
Hello.
You're on... Oh, flipping it. Hello? Oh, yeah. Ooh. All together now.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, wow.
I remember when I lost my mind.
We're getting a... Come back in, Kath. We're getting the full greatest hits here from someone. Someone's gone to a lot of work on this. It's on speakerphone, though, so when we talk, they cut out.
Is it Fatboy Slim again?
No, it's Jive Bunny. It's basically playing all of my greatest hits. This is Lord Sitar and their version of his version of Daydream Believer. This is the theme tune to Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure. Well, I'm gonna thank you so much. The one thing I will say, and that was brilliant, there's a lot of work went into that. The one thing I will say is if you're on speakerphone, it's rubbish. Because if we speak, it then mutes what you're doing. I'm right there, aren't I, Ed?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Do they have speakerphones in New Zealand?
Yeah, we
Isn't
have
that fantastic.
Yeah, they're just a little bit bigger.
Please, can I listen, I don't wanna be racist.
Okay.
But could you say fush and chubs?
Fush and chubs.
No, don't try and say it in an English accent. I saw what you
Sorry, okay, I'll do it full on Kiwi.
Yeah.
Fush and chubs.
There we go.
That's how they say it.
That's why the lady is a tramp. And I don't know why we're singing songs about ladies being tramps. She's fallen on hard times.
No.
Let's not make a song about
it. It's fine. These days, you own your trampness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We've gone full circle.
You try to tell that to the dossers down at Waterloo.
Wow, we call them dossers.
Well, you're advocating a song about them.
She's not an actual tramp. By the way, thank you very much for showing me that film.
What film? The Lady in the Van. That's good, isn't it?
Oh, she's,
Alan Bennett, The Lady in the Van, three Alan Bennetts in it. It's an absolute joy. The first hour and a half is laughter. The last 30 minutes is pure gut-wrenching tears.
Dame Maggie Smith.
Yeah. You would, wouldn't you?
What? I wouldn't.
I
resent that.
Why?
That I would.
What, younger woman?
Hmm?
Let's go to line one. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Oh, hi, Ian. This is Happy Tree here.
This is who?
Happy Tree from yesterday.
Oh, Happy Tree. So I'm having real trouble hearing some of the calls. They're very... But there's the volume... I'm so tired.
Yeah, that's why. Go on.
Go on, Happy Tree.
Go ahead, caller.
Well, I would quite like to talk about music with you because I've noticed that you like a lot of the same bands I like Crosby, Stills and Nash, John Sebastian.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't John Sebastian a darling? Be home soon.
Amazing. How did you get into all that? Was it through the Monkees and the connection with Stephen Stills?
It was through... Well, the Monkees are the gateway drug. The Monkees are the gateway drug to the 60s, OK? They're the kind of 60s light, but they're flipping brilliant. And then I just used it as a springboard. I think the Kinks were next on my list. I don't know. It just kind of happened. Here's the thing. Should I tell them how I got in touch with John Sebastian?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So on his website, it's got like a press thing. Click here for press. Right. So you email this thing. So it's an email saying, "Hi, my name's Ian Lee. I'm doing a new radio show. I'd love to interview John and da 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 da." He answers those emails himself, and he replied. He said, "Yeah, sounds great. When do you want me?" I'm like, "Whoa! John Sebastian's emailed me." I don't know. I discovered an album that I'd missed, Happy Tree, about 2 weeks ago, and I don't know. It was recommended to me by a friend of mine, Tim, in the United States. The Zombies. I can't remember what it's called, Odyssey and Oracle.
Yeah, but it's
spelt wrong because the guy that did the cover didn't know how to spell it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the guy that spelt the cover didn't know how to spell Odyssey, so he spelt it wrong.
I thought there might have been some kind of fracas with the disco duo.
Odyssey and Oracle by the Zombies. Have you heard it, Happy Tree?
I've never heard of the Zombies. Who are they, American?
Whoa.
What?
Whoa. Hang on a second, mate. You've never heard of the Zombies?
You have.
No.
You're having a laugh, buddy.
I'm not on you now. I've never heard of him, mate. Never heard of him.
You must... Hang on a minute. You come on here claiming we share similar types of music.
Well, similar is not the same. I mean, the Zombies, I think you've just made that up.
No, you know them.
Hang on one second. You're telling me you've never heard this?
Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looks, the way she acted, and the colour of her hair. Her voice was soft.
You've never heard this song?
You just sang that yourself. I don't believe that's real. No. I've never heard that. I was more a kind of Joni Mitchell, well, David Crosby, all of their, all of the permutations of all of them and stuff like that.
You've never... That was all that iTunes would let me play for free. You've never heard She's Not There by the Zombies?
Well, I will need to look them up.
Mate, flippin' heck. You have... Okay, well then you won't have heard this. And this is the song. This is the song. Hang on. Connecting. Oh, computers. Hang on, we'll do it again so it'll be smooth.
I'll tell you, the best bit about that John Sebastian interview is learning that he actually still lives in Woodstock, New York.
Oh, man.
That was like, that is the coolest thing
ever. It is the coolest thing. And I never got to, I wanted to ask him how high he was on that stage, but he must have been asked that a million times.
Here we go.
Come on, this is one of the best songs of all time. So you don't know any of those songs, Happy Tree?
No. Oh, mate, I've got a world
mate,
of...
Not a world, because they're a little bit hit-miss. But go, She's Not There is classic, and the Odyssey and Oracle, those are my the album, those are my recommendations.
And do it quick, because we've got one coming on.
Yeah, we've got a zombie coming on next week, 30th, is it? No, that Graham Nash were recording on the 30th. Mm. Anyway, I don't know.
Soon, anyway.
Yeah, soon.
So get on with it.
You're actually getting Graham Nash on then? Oh, wow.
Graham Nash is coming on, he's a pre-record. We want to do him live whenever possible, but Graham Nash is coming on.
Can we tell you the one that I'm really excited about?
Yeah?
Ronnie Spector.
Who's that?
Oh, what? Goodbye.
Go away.
Goodbye.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, what's going on with my computer? It's that same bit of music. I've got...
What have you done, Ian?
It's the same... And it's a great bit of music. It's John Sebastian, right?
Yeah.
But I have got absolutely no idea... I mean, listen, it'll loop in a second. I've got absolutely no idea. I'm turning it off. It's off.
Should I shut it off on my side for you?
It's off now. Of all the bugs a computer can develop, if that's been hacked by ISIS or something, fair play, all right? Because it's annoying, but I can still work with it. Do you remember, you may not remember this, there was a story a few months ago about... ISIS were instructed, this is a true thing, to hack websites, to bring down Western imperialism by hacking websites, right? Mm. And they hacked, someone will remind me, I've got this slightly wrong, I'm sure. They hacked, it was like the North Devon bus service. So everybody that wanted to find out how to get around in North Devon... The web page for the bus service just said, "Death to the infidel, you've been hacked by ISIS." And everyone went, "Well, that's not really going to bring down the country, is it? The fact that we don't know how to get the bus." I'm sure it was something like that.
Don't you know that the country relies on websites like that, though, for people to get around and do their daily job?
You're absolutely correct, and I apologise. I apologise. Line one, you're on the wireless. Hello, you're on the air. Oh, here we go. And he's not... Is he on speakerphone? He's not on speakerphone. Well done.
He's lent.
Okay, thank you very much. I mean, this means nothing to about 95% of the audience. These are basically... Years ago, I did a show on another station years ago, and these are a lot of the songs that I would... play. Thank you very much for that. Much appreciatos. Line two, you're on the wireless. Hello?
Hello,
you're on the air.
Hello, Ian, how you doing, all right?
I'm all right, I'm getting a bit of a headache. I'm tired and I'm hungry. But do you know what? Apart from that, I'm all right. I'll get a haircut tomorrow.
Oh, great.
You don't sound that interested. I'm excited.
Can I ask you a question?
You can, but I might not answer it.
Well, there was a question on one of your old LBC podcasts that I listened to last night.
Which bird lays the biggest egg?
No, but you cut him off. He didn't answer it. I want you to answer it now, if possible.
Yeah.
What does Nick Ferrari's farts smell like?
I've got no roses and all delightful things like that. Ah, dearie, dearie me. 0844 499 1000 calls cost 7 pence per minute, plus your provider's access charge. It'll cost a bit more from a mobile phone. Let me tell you that. We never got to talk. No one called in to back up my theory. I don't believe in you know, the kind of ghosts and all the spiritual mumbo jumbo. If there are any psychics listening that want to come in the studio and do it live on air, then boy oh boy, that is an open invitation, isn't it? They always say no. They always say no. But the thing I do buy, and I do kind of dig, is auras. I think you can see auras because it's just like energy, isn't it? And we are energy. I sound like I've been hanging up at Woodstock with John Sebastian too much. We're all just energy, guys. We are stardust. We are golden. And we've got to find our way back to the garden. Hey, does anyone know how Joni Mitchell is? Do you remember Joni Mitchell nearly died? Do you know who Joni Mitchell is?
I know who Joni Mitchell is.
She nearly died last year. And we've heard nothing from her since. I wonder if she's all right. Like a bit of Joni Mitchell. Not the later stuff, if I'm completely honest, when she got a little bit jazzy. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We'll take calls straight to her for the last 10 minutes of the show. Now, here we go. I'm experiencing trouble with cars for various reasons. Maybe I'll tell you one day. But I got a parking ticket the other day, and the thing with a parking ticket is I allow myself 30 seconds of being really angry, and then I pay it instantly, and get it out of the way, because generally I've only ever had a parking ticket because I've parked somewhere where I'm not supposed to park. So, okay, it was my fault, I didn't read the sign, or I chanced it and thought I could get away with it. Get these people, we're not doing a phone-in about parking tickets, we're not that desperate for material yet. But you get these people with parking tickets that are furious. I got a parking ticket. I was only 5 minutes over. Well, you were over. It was only 5 minutes. I only nicked him to get some fags. You parked on a double yellow line. I only nicked into the chemist to get some medicine for the kids. Well, yeah, but you still parked where you shouldn't have parked. That's what you got a parking ticket for. Deal with it. A traffic warden. Now, this story takes a rather sad twist. Well, it takes a sad twist within the first sentence. A traffic warden ticketed a lorry, failing to realise the driver had died in his cab. I didn't think they were allowed to. You would knock on the. You'd see him in there, wouldn't you? Let's read the story a bit further. Because if you saw him, you'd knock on the window and go, excuse me, mate, I'm going to give you a ticket. Police found the body of the 52-year-old man, oh dear, in the park vehicle, which had its hazards lights on. You would see the bloke in there and go, excuse me, I'm going to give you, wouldn't you, line one? You'd see the bloke and say, I'm going to give you a ticket.
There's one thing he's missing here. He's missing some voiceover saying, it's Ian Lee's greatest hits.
I don't recognise this bit of music, so I don't know what this is. But it's quite nice. We'll keep it going. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. There's another story in the Mirror today. I get most hobbies, OK? Because I'm kind of quite geeky and quite sad. This is good, this music. And I, you know, I'm really into the monkeys, and I'd run like a website about. I do boring geeky stuff. I think it's predominantly a bloke thing to do boring geeky stuff. Women are far too sensible. The one thing I don't get, right, and my mate Garner does, Paul Garner does this. I don't get plane spotting. It's a plane. You know, look, there's an F6322. It's a plane. Am I going on it? No, not interested. This music's cracking. If anyone knows what this is, tell me what it is and I'm going to download it.
I've run it through an ad. Apparently it's Water Sports by James Clark.
Water Sports, come on, mate. Come on, mate. Paul's tweeted, on late at night, talking about his ongoing car troubles, everything is good in the world again. Thank you, Paul. There's no song called Water Sports. Nothing that we could play on here anyway. Four British plane spotters must each pay a £1,400 fine or face a year in jail for taking photos at a Kenyan airport. The men plead... here they go. The men pleaded guilty to trespass and taking pictures of aircraft without permission. They've been held since sparking a terror alert. Oh, dear. They've been named as Ian Glover, 46, Steve Gibson, 60, and Eddie Swift and Paul Abbott, both 47. Why would you want to take a photo of an aircraft? My boys, they're kids, right, and they like looking at airplanes. We haven't done it for a year or so, actually. They might have grown out of it, but we used to go to Heathrow. Thanks for that. It was excellent. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed water sports. And we would go to Heathrow. We'd go up to, like, the top floor of Terminal 5, I think it was, and I would have a coffee, and they'd look out the window at aeroplanes, and it was an hour. It killed an hour. I was about to say it was free. You had to pay the parking at Heathrow, which, as anybody will tell you, is very, very expensive, dear listener. So I can kind of, you know, and it's young kids, they were 5 and 3. Young kids like big, noisy machines. You know, they like trains and they like stuff like that. But then for an adult to be excited, I should have done this earlier on so someone could phone in. You've still got time. And explain the fascination. Because I do get most things. I get most weird kind of kinks and kicks and hobbies and things like that. It makes sense to me. But the planes, I just don't get them. They're to fly you somewhere. It was, you probably won't know this, Ed. About 8 years ago, there were a load of British, maybe about 10 years ago, plane spotters got arrested in Greece for taking pictures of planes. And the Greek legal system is pony, right? It's all backhanders, it's rubbish jails, and it drags on for months, right? And they all went to prison, I think, for a while. And then they got released on bail, but they never turned up to court. Because the Greeks, quite sensible in this, they thought that they were spies. They thought they were British spies taking pictures of their military aircraft. They have no concept over there of what plane spotting is. Mm. They go, no, we're plane spotters. Huh? We're plane spotters. What we do, what our hobby is we take pictures of planes and we write down the numbers and we compare. Huh? And the Greeks didn't get it. Rightfully so. The Greeks were right in this instance. They didn't get it at all, and they should have thrown the book at them. I think they got let off, but I think they had to pay huge fines in the end. Was it fines, Line 1? I don't think they went to prison. Okay. Okay, what's this one called? Having a poo? Are you Shazamming
that
it?
That other one was definitely Waffle. Oh, come, check.
Do you know what that means in this country? It's like Slash. Slash from Guns N' Roses. He was born in this country. He was born in Milton Keynes, right? You'd think someone who was born in Milton Keynes would know what Slash means. And yet he still goes around using that silly name. Ridiculous, dearie me. A smell can trigger fear. You don't say. This is from the science correspondent. What do you need a science correspondent? Of course smell can trigger fear. What smells are you afraid of?
What age? Wasn't it like a 5 to 8 year old science correspondent?
No, this is Colin Fernandez. In the animal kingdom, the scent of a mighty predator is enough to terrify smaller creatures. Scientists have pinpointed the fear centre of the brain of mice and found it is embedded in the same area that used for smell. What? Fear in humans is triggered more by sight and sound, but our reaction is similar. What smells are you afraid of? Baby nappy.
Yeah.
Baby nappy. Whilst I'm holding it. That's what I'm scared of. Although, there was something. My own children... Should I reveal this? Why the hell not? What a way to end a show. Thank you for that. Thank you very much indeed. I used to derive, and I would discuss this more tomorrow. I'm not the only person. that would think this. I'm not the only person at all. I'm sure other parents have had this. I used to derive pleasure from the smell of my baby's nappies.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.